Live from the Gregory Ricks and Associates Wealth Management Studios, this is News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Morning. How you doing? Happy Saturday. Welcome to Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks. I am your co-host, James Parker. The phone number, if you want to get involved, if you have a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, 504-260-0995. If you're not familiar with this show, this is the only show that you can turn on in this area where you can call in with a financial situation across a broad spectrum of topics. And have a guy whose expertise, what he does the other 6 days a week, is help people with those questions. And then, well, guess what? He's going to do it on the radio today. Gregory Ricks will be in here shortly to provide that financial expertise, because it's not me. Still coming up on the show, though, we got a special guest coming in the next hour, Jude Heath. He is our tax guy. So guess what? More expertise to be had, especially if you're thinking about anything tax-related. Because, oh, man, I love taxes. Huge fan of the IRS. Love them. But we were at Pasta and Pacini last night, the big JPAS gala. That was a party. Pretty good. I got to wear a tux this time, and I actually wore a tux to an event where you're supposed to wear a tux, so it worked out a lot better. Unlike the last time I wore the tux, went to an event where you're not supposed to wear a tux, and that was... That almost went really bad. Hey, I want to start off talking about what's going on with some of our neighbors over here in the Mississippi coast. In a notice dated this month, Mississippi Department of Revenue website was requesting information from companies interested in taking on the warehousing and distribution of alcohol for the state. See, This is something that I had to deal with. All these laws, like around liquor, that when I moved and actually experienced New Orleans for the first time, because I didn't come to New Orleans until after I was an adult, I was blown away. I was like, wow, they sell liquor at Walmart. And I got on, I think it was MySpace or something, and I was just like, hey, everybody, they sell liquor at Walmart. Hey, everybody. You know, people, my neighbors here in Louisiana were looking at me like, yeah, big deal. Like, you don't understand. Where I'm from, they may allow Walmart to sell beer and wine. But in the county where I grew up in Texas, there wasn't beer or wine, much less liquor in a grocery store. In a grocery store, they didn't have it in the convenience stores. I mean, you want to talk about just... reverse culture shock. I couldn't imagine what it'd be like to go growing up in New Orleans where you can walk outside with a beer. Yeah, I got a beer in my hand. I walked out with it. Why not? I bought it. To where you move to little old Smith County, Texas, and you can't find beer in any gas station. You can't find beer in any grocery store. You can only buy beer at a bar to be drank immediately. Or you got to take your happy behind over to the county line. They recently changed that. I mean, like 2 years ago, they changed that. But it was kind of cool because the county I grew up in had super strict liquor laws. The adjacent one, or actually probably all of the adjacent ones, did not. And like my little hometown of Tyler has basically a sister city that exact same size, exact same resources, exact same access to, you know, all the highways and everything. The only real... or one of the few differences, I should say, was the difference in liquor laws. And you could tell that there's a lot more crime in Longview than Tyler. There's a lot more bums in Longview than in Tyler. There's homeless people begging on the side of the street. You know, I had to pretend not to see like three of them on my way to the studio down here today. There was no such thing as that in Tyler. Why? Because you're going to bum for money. And you're finally, at the end of the day, you're going to get $18 or 60 bucks, or I don't know how much bums end up with these days or those days. But what are you going to do? Are you going to walk to the county line No, it was amazing. So I'm, look, as free market capitalist pig libertarian as I am, you know, the smaller and smaller the jurisdictions get, the more open I am to some of these restrictions. I'm not saying I agree with it. I'm not saying if I was in charge of a county or a parish, I would set up the liquor laws this way. But there are advantages and disadvantages to be had from being real strict on liquor. And Mississippi is sort of soft pedaling that a little bit. But it's holding them back in one way. We're now being told, I saw this in the Sun Herald, that this is why we don't have a Costco down there. And I want to do a search. Hey, where's the nearest Costco? If you live, Angie, producer Angie, if you live in Biloxi, where's the nearest Costco? How far do you have to drive? Do you have to drive to Mobile, or do you have to drive to Louisiana for that?
You know, I'm not sure. I just know the Costco. That's
what Google's for. Can you Google it for me real quick? Just like, I'm starting in Biloxi. Where's the nearest Costco? But it's the liquor. It's the liquor laws there. And I can't blame them. Look, there's quite a few establishments where the whole food and the whole gas and the whole candy thing, that's basically just a setup to get you in there. The real money is made. The real margins are had. The real profit comes from the sale of booze. You know, something else that's sort of unique to this area that I noticed when I moved here is how they have these little shacks, these little huts in the corner of a restaurant, or it could be in the corner of a donut shop or some other completely unrelated business where they have video poker. What's with all the video poker? And you got to, if it's not already a bar, you got to shelter it away from kids. You don't want kids playing video poker. That's some evil stuff. Where the kids get the money to begin with. Go ahead and let them play poker. This, give them a quick lesson in how gambling's not very smart. But I'm told, like, dude, you have a Chinese restaurant. Why do you have a video poker booth over there? And they're like, are you kidding? That's where we make all our money. This whole Chinese food thing, we sort of just break even and cover our costs. And, you know, we can cover the cost of the food and the payroll and the rent. But the profit, that over there. And I don't think I've ever seen anyone go into one of those little booths at the Chinese restaurant. But someone must, and I guess they're losing too, because there's profit coming off of it. So I always enjoy these little debates here. Come on, man. We're adults. Shouldn't we be able to make the decision whether or not we want to buy alcohol at the grocery store? Shouldn't we be able to buy, like in Texas, you can't buy liquor on Sundays for some reason still? There's a great case to be made for that. There's also a great case to be made for if there's a community of people who want to put that stuff at arm's length because they want to enjoy the beneficial aspects of it. Aren't they adults that can make their own decisions on whether or not? I know. See, it kind of fights back and forth. And so now you have the individual against the community, but which community and which individual are we talking about? And someone's preferences are going to necessarily override the other ones, and I usually default in the case of liberty, but I can't fault people for wanting to have strict liquor laws as long as it's in the smallest jurisdiction possible. I do not like liquor restrictions that are nationwide. I don't even really like them that much at the state level. I have a harder time arguing at the county or parish level. But adding Costco, adding Whole Foods, you may have to relax some of those laws to get it. Is it worth it? Man, I don't know. I hardly ever go to Costco. That's Miss Parker's job. All right, did you look it up? Costco from Biloxi? Where's the nearest?
There seems to be one in Biloxi.
Well, then what are they talking about over here? Why would look at this headline. Want Costco on the coast? Mississippi needs to change one thing before that happens, and they're talking about liquor laws.
There's a whole Facebook page, maybe. I don't know. Let me double check it.
Okay, fine. All right, financial situations, 504-260-0995. The Fortune 500 firms in 1955. There was a lot of history this week. If you're watching Fox Business or CNBC, the anniversary of the Black Monday crash, it was 30 years. 1987, October 19th, 1987. So I was kind of in this reminiscing mood. Saw a cool report here. Fortune 500 firms. That means the top 500 companies in America in 1955. How many of them are still alive and remaining today? 12%. Only 60 companies from the Fortune 500 list in 1955 are still around. Not only is it hard to start a business, not only is it hard to keep a business going, not only is it hard to sustain a business, but to do it in an intergenerational fashion is almost unheard of. You'll recognize almost all of these names, though. Only 60 companies of the top 500. You know, this is one of those little reminders when people talk about, you know, rich corporations or monopolies or antitrust laws, or we got to go after the 1% or the top 5% or the top 10%. You know, that's not a static group of people. That's a very dynamic group of people. And let me encourage you, at some point, likelihood is you're going to be in the top 20% of income earners. Yeah. Something like 60% of the country. Somewhere between 40 and 60, about half of the country at some point will end up in that top income earning bracket. So, yeah, right now when you see them discussing tax reform on TV and they're going after these other people, and no, this won't raise your taxes, just these other people over here who had it coming anyway. Well, look, chances are one day that's going to be you. And one day it's going to be you, and you're only going to be up there in that top income earning bracket. Most people just spend 2, 3, 5 years, maybe 10 if you're lucky, up there. And what's it going to be like when you're there? How's that going to feel when everyone else is turning around? You say, you don't need it. You don't deserve it. Are you kidding? I just got here. I made all these sacrifices. You know, I did all this stuff that required discipline and hard work and bettering myself and reading books and working 60 hours a week. And I finally get to where I'm earning the money that was my dream. And what happens? I only get to keep half of it if I'm lucky. And all you guys are saying I don't deserve it and I didn't earn it. Because, you know, when the previous president said you didn't build that, a lot of people got a rash because, damn it, I did build this. Now what?
All right. So I got to confirm the closest Costco to the coast is in Mobile, other than Louisiana.
Well, then what's that one? Are they trying to get a Costco on the coast?
That's what I was reading. That's why I was getting confused. They have a few Facebook pages. They also have a Yelp page. They're all trying to get it in Biloxi or Gulfport.
Okay. That makes a lot more sense. So the Sun Herald hasn't lost their mind. Thank you. Okay, cool. I know I haven't seen a Costco over there, but I don't know all the stores in Biloxi. All right. Financial situations, we got Gregory in the building, so if you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, expertise is at your call, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. This is Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio.
Gregory Ricks here. I enjoy fast cars, so I go to NOLA Motorsports Park in Avondale. They have a fun go-kart track, racing school, a 2.7-mile race course. And yeah, there's crazy guys on motorcycles. Hang off a bike, scrape some knees in the turns. I can't recommend it enough. NOLA Motorsports Park. Adrenaline fun. See what they're all about at NOLAMotor.com.
Winning at Life invites you to our Women and Wealth event, Thursday, November 2nd, Ruth's Chris Steakhouse in Metairie. This women's-only event will include a unique dining experience of wine tasting paired with the presented Ruth's Chris menu. In addition to this educational food and wine experience, you will also meet the Total Wealth Authority, the team to handle all your retirement needs. Reserve your seat today, 504-832-9200, the Gregory Rickson Associates app or gregoryricks.com.
Caroline or Change opens next weekend at the Westwego Performing Arts Theater. Pause your latest TV binge and experience live local talent rocking a Broadway hit that is set in Louisiana in the 60s. Caroline or Change, Friday and Saturday at 7:30, Sunday at 2. For tickets, call 504-885-2000, the JPAS app or jpas.org.
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
How about your traditional IRA and 401k? If your earnings are in the higher tax brackets, you can benefit from contributing to a traditional IRA or 401k. This reduces your income and eliminates capital gains as a result of trading inside the account.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO. The Ricks Report with Gregory Ricks.
A fella a few years ago came in to talk to me. His grand plan was to take distributions from his retirement to fund his son's college education. And it was a spend down of his account. And then he came back in a year later after he had started doing so and wanted help. And I told him it was already too late for him, that he had better have a pretty good agreement with that son to take care of him later in life. You better have a pretty good agreement if you're going to go down that road, give out your money, and then expect the kids to take care of you. How are they taking care of you right now, you might wonder. I don't want to be a burden on somebody else, and most of the families I work with don't want to be a burden.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Find me at GregoryRicks.com, the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
Update you daily. Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. This is Winning at Life, the weekly wrap. We wrapped up the daily wrap last night at Pasta and Pacini Gala, JPAS.
Yeah, and I looked. I didn't see Pacini there anywhere. So that was...
See, where was my pasta? I guess we missed that part while doing the show.
Oh, you know what? We didn't have any pasta either, did we? What? The whole thing was a fraud. It was a very fun fraud. Raised money for a great cause. And I guess Pacini probably couldn't be there because he's been dead for like 97 years, but...
Well, it was really fun, I'll tell you that. I am looking to pull up an article that we talked about the other day on the Daily Wrap.
You want to do it after Max?
That's why I'm pulling it up, because of Max.
Oh, okay, okay. Well, then let me bring him in here.
Okay.
Max, New Orleans, you're first up on Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, sir?
I've heard so many things about it over the years, but now it seems like every website I go to, all my news websites I have on my phone, and matter of fact, even on NFL Network the other day, it was on Mini Stock for marijuana buys. And the way it was reading was that so many people on this new, I don't know what it's called, H2C or something, the new federal bill to decriminalize or at least take it off the Schedule One listing, that it'll really only benefit the larger scale companies that are in the full retail, R&D, you know, dispensary, the whole nine, that those are the only companies that are going to be able to hold to the standards rather than the smaller companies. I did some research on a few of them, and I saw that a couple of them are actually trading at something like 89 cents a share. Now, I have no shares, no stocks, no holdings, and I'm not a rich person by any means. I work 6 days a week, 10 hours a day, and I just wanted to buy into penny stocks into this as I could, you know, on a monthly basis, maybe buy 50 to 100 bucks on this up until the passing of the new law. Because I just believe that that is where our country is and is heading. And I just was wondering if you had any advice on to which companies specifically to look out for, which ones are the ones that you see as the best chance of exponential growth, because I think exponential growth is actually going to happen for all of them. I just think that's I don't know. I see Trump as a very smart man when it comes to business, and I just see him seeing the economic value in it. I know Colorado pulled something like $2 billion just last year alone, first year in. So that's just taxable revenue.
Do you know what Trump's brother died of?
Whose brother?
President Trump's brother.
No, I do not.
Died of a drug overdose.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I know he doesn't do any drugs. I know he doesn't drink.
When you talk about he's a smart businessman, he is, but he doesn't drink and he doesn't.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's also the
brownies with cannabis in them.
Yeah. Well,
or roll him a.
Died from.
Or roll him one. He doesn't do that. Sessions, the. What's his official title?
Attorney General.
Attorney General. He wants to prosecute. So
yeah, he did. He came right out immediately after taking office and saying he was going to use federal law against it, but then backed off.
Well, you can't because of the Robacher-Farr Amendment, which has not been attached to the new budget bill that is kicked down the road to December 15th. So they're trying to get back in there. So what I'm telling you is I don't recommend any cannabis stock. I haven't. As far as that industry's hanging on by a thread, which is waiting for an amendment that gets reattached every year to the budget, and I wouldn't touch anything unless it became permanent. I wouldn't be interested in the industry because it's an all-cash business as well. They can't use the banking system, so are the revenues really going through the company? Who's auditing the books? Who's counting the cash? And you as a shareholder, are you going to get your part? This has a long ways to go before. And so,
so
if you're putting money in it, Max, prepare to lose it. That's how you should think about it. I'm not going to make a recommendation, but that is. And you're talking about penny stocks. Prepare to lose it, and then you're good.
Okay. Because, as far as I understood, they recently passed a law or a set of laws that allowed them to use the banks.
Yeah, listen, Max, why are you interested in the penny stock aspect? Because you're taking a bad idea and you're making it worse by going the penny stock route.
It's only because of the way it was presented on all the websites as a $2 stock. And I just say penny stocks because, there was a $2 stock is what they kept saying it to buy into. So I actually started researching it and looking into it because I really do truly believe that it will be legal soon, fully legal. And at least federally, it will be taken off the Schedule One listing, which is just step one.
If there was a stock you could buy that would 100% go up for that, we could even lean you or direct you toward it. But we don't know which company is going to win the day. We don't know what the market's going to look like. Like, I don't know if it's going to be like cigarettes where there's basically just one kind of tobacco, maybe menthols, but there's not variety here. There's no boutique cigarette makers like there are craft beers, Is it going to be more like beer? Where this one's
it's going to be more like craft beer. It's going to be more like the liquor industry.
You can't say that because you don't know what the federal law is going to, if it's going to become legal.
The
everywhere.
New bill.
Hang on.
Mute Max, because what's coming is if the feds are getting involved, they're going to create a federal law. They'll switch to that, so then it gets in the federal banking system, and they're going to get their cut of the taxes, or there'll be a federal tax on it, just like cigarettes and alcohol. What level? I don't know, but this has to evolve, and right now it's based on states passing it, and if states pass it, they won't prosecute. But the federal law still is to prosecute. You don't want to be caught with that stuff in Louisiana. It's no problem in Colorado, Nevada, California being January. So we may well see this evolve, and my opinion is I think the Fed should tax it.
Yeah, and
get on with it and control it and take this off the streets in the other states.
And you could be completely right that this is going to be a new industry in the future. But in the 20s, if you were running around saying everyone's going to be driving a car in 10, 20, 30 years. It's going to be the most normal thing in the world. All right. Well, what stock are you buying in? Are you buying into Durant Motors or are you buying into General Motors? Are you buying into Studebaker? Are you buying into Ford? You don't know which one's going to win. You don't know which one's going to live or die. And I was just saying in the last segment of the
four. Or how are they going to be powered? Steam, electric? Gas.
But in the last segment, of the Fortune 500 firms in 1955, only 60 are still alive today. We don't know which one you're buying into, and you don't know which one you're buying into.
Thanks for the call, Max.
Hey, so Pasta Machini last night, we got to talk to some entrepreneurs. So I went from that last night. We talked to the guy who started Gibbs Construction, which you see their signs everywhere. We talked to a guy who has his own little entrepreneurial pipeline business going out in the Gold Empire.
It is
Empire.
A little business, yeah. But it was very interesting at how he took advantage of when things were being reset a good while back in the oil industry. And well, guess what's happening again?
He kind of did what Max is doing. Look, he's looking in the future. There's going to be a demand for this right now. There's some opportunities open up for me to get into it. So that forward-looking thing is kind of cool. But this morning, I kicked out of bed a little early. The stupid kids woke me up. I was going to try and sleep in a little bit. But turned on Wall Street Week to try and get some audio for the show and do a little research because, you know, I wasn't real studious last night. And she just interviewed a couple of CEOs. It sounded like the show we did last night, Gregory, and just going on it right at the same time. So you could have turned us on, and here we are interviewing some entrepreneurial CEOs. But Maria Bartiromo talked to a couple herself, and it's just really cool to see the similarities in what we heard last night and what was on Wall Street Week. In fact, you're going to love this, Gregory. She teased on Wall Street Week last night. She recorded an interview with Donald Trump, and they're going to play it tomorrow morning. On Sunday Morning Futures. That one's is that on Fox regular, like Fox News? That one's not on Fox Business. Sunday Morning Futures is just regular old Fox News, right? But the whole interview is going to be on that tomorrow morning. I got a clip for you, though, Gregory. You got that now? Should we play after the break? Okay, yeah, we're about out of time. All right, financial situations, not quite sure what to do. You can call Gregory, 504-260-0995. Also coming up in the next segment, we're going to talk about our next live event. It's a women-only event. It's the last Gregory Ricks Live of 2017. And if you're just wandering around in your car right now with your head in a daze, you know you should be paying more attention to the road, but you're thinking about your money. Maybe you need to get some help. Maybe you need to get a second look. Maybe you need to figure out where this is going to be so you don't have to worry anymore. 504-260-0995. All that's coming up. And your financial situations. 504-260-0995. I am James Parker. You're listening to Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. This is iHeartRadio.
You to our Women and Wealth event Thursday, November 2nd, Ruth's Chris Steakhouse in Metairie. This women's only event will include a unique dining experience of wine tasting paired with the presented Ruth's Chris menu. In addition to this educational food and wine experience, you will also meet the Total Wealth Authority, the team to handle all your retirement needs. Reserve your seat today. 504-832-9200, the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or gregoryricks.com.
Mortgage Gumbo with your chef, Dwayne Stein.
If I start adding new cards and dropping old cards, then I'm going to mess up my credit. What do you think?
If you cancel any credit cards that you currently have, you will lose. Let's say you had one for 10 years, 15 years. The second you cancel that card, you are going to lose all that history. We'll destroy your credit.
Mortgage Gumbo with Dwayne Stein this Saturday at 1 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Gregory Ricks and Associates brings you the Total Wealth Authority, the team to handle all aspects of your money. Meet our CPA, Jude Heath.
Well, tax season is what it is. Some folks come in and the tax year is already planned. On a going forward basis, there was some legislation that was put in that some of it can affect some of the listeners.
The Total Wealth Authority. Summon us with the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, gregoryricks.com, or 504-832-9200.
What do I cherish? Precious moments. Watching Dad read to my little Eric. That's why I'm so grateful I insisted on an eye exam when I noticed him struggling with the words on the page. We found out Dad has age-related macular degeneration, or AMD. Fortunately, the doctor caught it in time for treatment, so Dad can still read. Protect yourself and your loved ones. Call the Foundation Fighting Blindness today at 1-800-BLINDNESS for a free packet on preventing and managing AMD. A cure is in sight.
Winning at life and invites you to our Women and Wealth event Thursday, November 2nd, Ruth's Chris Steakhouse in Metairie. This women's-only event will include a unique dining experience of wine tasting paired with the presented Ruth's Chris menu. In addition to this educational food and wine experience, you will also meet the Total Wealth Authority, the team to handle all your retirement needs. Reserve your seat today. 504-832-9200, the Gregory Ricks & Associates app, or Gregory Ricks.
The contents of this show are meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not meant to take place of your attorney, accountant, tax professional, personal trainer, football coach, interior decorator, or those fortune tellers at Jackson Square. Please consult a financial advisor before making all investment decisions.
Gregory Ricks & Associates is a registered investment advisory firm. If you'd like a copy of Form ADV, our full disclosures, call the office 504-832-9200 or go to gregoryricks.com.
Welcome back, Winning at Life, Weekly Wrap. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. You're listening to Live. That's right, Live Financial Talk Radio. It means you can participate. We anticipate your call. All of you. That'd be good. All of them try to call.
At 504,
yeah. 504. So we anticipate it. May crash our systems, but we'd have a go at it. 504. 260-0995. A lot of stuff went on this week. We had the Black Monday celebration day from 30 years ago, approximately 30 years after Black Monday. And guess what the market did that day? Opened down a pretty good bit.
Hey, it ended up fighting back, but they're... It was so heavy on the mind of everyone. I didn't think it would be that big of a deal, but they talked about it on the news all day.
All day. And it was interesting looking at Fox, but I didn't check out the other channels, what they had to say. But what, you know, they were kind of doing the where were you when that happened and doing that with the guests. So you had Varney, Lou Dobbs, Maria, you know, some flashbacks, and they showed pictures of them, which was hilarious in what they're doing. But you know, that market made it back after about a year and a half when that event happened. That was some serious steep discounting very fast. So there was a lot of selling that happened at a very, very fast pace back then. But one thing I was thinking about of this, but you know, we had the Senate pass a budget bill this week, which, and there was some ordering in that and how they do stuff has to do with the filibuster, I think. So that's kind of put a stop to that. So when it's time for taxes, they don't need the Dems' help, as if anybody would vote for any idea a Republican had. But on the break, we had that news item, which kind of puzzled me. And talking about, oh, all this tax savings for government, I mean, not for government, for corporations, which puzzled me because what I think where this got started is globally, we don't have a level playing field for businesses. And they say the end result of that is why a lot of jobs go overseas as well. So we talk about this on the backs of the taxpayers, but I think the ultimate role is if we could keep money here, have a fair tax system so they're not taking the business overseas to operate that business in a lower tax bracket. That means we're keeping jobs here. People are making money and they are paying taxes. I don't know that you're going to have all taxpayers, and those higher income brackets are the one that pays 80% of the bill anyhow from a tax standpoint. But I think they're missing the point. Is we could just keep the system where businesses and jobs goes outside of the U.S. and we still have this problem. And if we're not paying people to work here, at regardless of their tax bracket, they're not making money to be taxed. So what's your thought on that? I just seems like there's you have this start that way, and then there's a disconnect. Like, okay, now you've got this backwards. What is it we're wanting to do?
Some of those jobs are gone. They're never coming back.
Oh, they're not.
And some of them should never come back. We don't want them to come back. I don't want my kids to do some of these jobs when they grow up. I don't want my kids to be snapping together the SpongeBob toy that's going to end up in the bottom of their Happy Meal. You know, that's not a job. I don't want my kids to grow up and be a seamstress and sew together jeans and T-shirts. You know, that's someone. Have you ever seen the little shops where they do this, like in the Indonesian jungle? Like, it's not even indoors. It's in a pavilion like they have at the park where you're going to have a barbecue.
Okay. Textile manufacturing isn't done that way.
No. But I've seen some of it that is. I'm just saying we all benefit from that just rock bottom low cost of products. I want my kids to be doing the stuff on top of that. I want them to be the people designing the jeans and sending the blueprint off to Indonesia to be sewn together. I want them to be the marketing genius that convinces people doing yoga that you need to pay $112 for this pair of pants when it only costs us $4.50 to sew it together on the other side of the world. I'm talking about Lululemon. That's where I want my kids. So
I can see that, but I still think there's a place for that manufacturing here, not for it to come back or anything, but I think there is a place for that because it is already here. But it's also the same thing where we are manufacturing of, say, automobiles that have been historically here seems to shift, but then we have Honda, Mercedes, Toyota, Audi, over here, they're here from where they originated and building cars here. So if they can come in here and do it, why do we have manufacturing leaving for that reason as well? Just a question, not looking for the answer, but you know, it kind of goes both ways. I still think when something like that leaves, and that's some of the conversations we had last night at Pasta and Pacini, is it does create opportunity.
Yeah. Now those jobs will come back. The ones that are super high tech, you're not operating a sewing machine on some denim. You're operating a robot that's doing 200 welds in 4 minutes on the chassis of a BMW in North Alabama. Those are the jobs that will come back when you lower the taxes. But also, you see what's happened recently with the corporate inversions. That only is happening because of our high corporate income tax rate. We end up losing more money than revenue gained from raising when these guys go overseas. Like Burger King really needed to merger with Tim Hortons and be based out of Canada. That's a complete tax.
Another example is who makes all the iPhones for Apple and
Foxconn.
Where are they building a factory?
In America?
Yeah.
Where was that?
I think it's up in Minnesota.
Sounds about right.
But giant facility up there. Okay, they're coming over here as well. And I think part of that of companies looking here is the environment is turning more favorable here. And that's where I think it's important that, look, we don't operate under the same tax code of when it was started, and what it shifted to was a lot higher than it is today. So we've had quite a bit of change over the years, and just because, okay, well, this is where we've run the tax code for the past 30 years, so it should be fine. I think everything is subject to change.
I think this is a perfect time to play the preview. Maria Bartiromo's interview with Trump that's going to play tomorrow, cut five. She's asking about tax reform.
If they can't get this tax bill done this year, should they forego Thanksgiving and Christmas? Should they be here if they don't have a bill on your desk by Thanksgiving?
Well, I think they should, and I think they will. I think a lot of things are happening, unless you know it's going to be right after that. But I don't even like them leaving. But I will say this. I want to get it by the end of the year, but I'd be very disappointed if it took that long. It could be substantially less than that, depending on what happens when we send the bill back to the House. You know, they'll send it back and people are going to go and, you know, make 200 suggestions as opposed to maybe no suggestions because it's a great bill. It's going to be a great bill. And we're adjusting. We're adjusting so that there's no way that the middle class doesn't greatly benefit. Every once in a while, there's a method under which, you know, it could be that some people in the middle class won't benefit as much as we want them to benefit. And we're making certain adjustments, but I think we're going to have it sooner rather than later.
You know, I don't necessarily agree with if they don't get it done, then they need to stay up here through Thanksgiving and Christmas.
We've had that conversation before in what their holiday break in September, mm-hmm. wasn't it? Yeah. They all left, even though everybody said, oh, we should stay. And even some of them, oh, look, let's stay. They're not staying. They're taking their break in November and December.
Look, I prefer for them to have fewer days. That way, whenever they are in session, they have to get stuff done. Not renaming post offices, not wearing a sequence cowboy hat, lying about what so-and-so said to so-and-so in a phone call. Like, they talk about the stuff on the floor of the House. They waste time. Our neighbors over to the west, Texas, they have a legislature. You know, they only meet for 5 months every 2 years, period. Every once in a while, they'll have a special session that last about a week or two. But if they can do it, 5 months out of 2 years is the only time where you have to watch your wallet from the politicians in a neighbor in our neighboring state over there. I wouldn't mind if they did that in D.C. Wouldn't that be nice? 5 months every 2 years. And then you know what you do? You go back home and you go to work. They only pay them $7,000, by the way, Gregory, the legislators in Texas. $7,000. 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. It's Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio.
There's more to winning at life than making a bunch of money. It's also about finding something you love doing. Gregory Ricks here. For me, I enjoy fast cars, so I go to NOLA Motorsports Park in Avondale. If you like going fast on anything with wheels, this is the amusement park. I can't recommend it enough. NOLA Motorsports Park. See what they're all about at NOLAMotor.com.
Winning at Life invites you to our Women and Wealth event, Thursday, November 2nd, Ruth's Chris Steakhouse in Metairie. This women's only event will include a unique dining experience of wine tasting paired with the presented Ruth's Chris menu. In addition to this educational food and wine experience, you will also meet the Total Wealth Authority, the team to handle all your retirement needs. Reserve your seat today, 504-832-9200, the Gregory Ricks and Associates. It's app or GregoryRicks.com.
Carolina Change opens next weekend at the Westwego Performing Arts Theater. Do something new for a date night. Come see a Broadway hit about 60s Louisiana performed by local talent and experience some real culture. Carolina or Change, Friday and Saturday at 7:30, Sunday at 2. For tickets, call 504-885-2000, the JPAS app or jpas.org.
Gregory Ricks and Associates is Louisiana's 401k and retirement authority.
You're sitting down with an annuity-only firm. Are they really covering the surrender provisions and how that works? And typically what I find is they use surrender provisions that run too long. I've seen them run as long as 17 years, and I'll tell you, that is just way too dadgum long.
504-832-9200 or GregoryRicks.com.
The Ricks Report with Gregory Ricks.
We think we're going to get about $80,000 from the sale of the house. I wanted to know what your advice is on where to invest that money.
Do you plan on buying a home again in the future?
So maybe 5 to 10 years?
I would probably keep it away from risk. And if I was to attach it to risk, I'm probably splitting the money, keeping 40 in savings. And then the other 40 you could put to work, but I really think it needs to be conservative. And remember, rule number three of my three rules, return of your money is more important than the return on your money. So make sure you have an exit with whatever you do.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Find me at GregoryRicks.com, the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
You need to get it together. Time to call Gregory. Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Happy Saturday. Yeah, I'm so glad to be here this morning. Glad to be up and going every morning. Gets us on our task. We were having a discussion on the break. I'll pick on Angie here. She's talking about money put into drugs and pharmaceuticals. And she said it just makes it real expensive on the back end. Well, first off, investors have to put money up so it gets done. And it is huge commitments to do so. And then if the investors are putting money up, what are they expecting?
An outcome.
Yeah, they're expecting a profit, a return. That's why you've got a lot of publicly traded pharmaceutical companies and do well. It doesn't work for all of them, and all don't go through. They put up money, and in the end, it doesn't get approved or it doesn't work. It makes people feel worse. You know, it's not a positive outcome all the time. But what they have to have some, and I was reading in Forbes the other day an article about a company, and it was very interesting, once again, from that prospect standpoint. Everything doesn't work, but hey, a few did, and they're doing well, and gives them more to reinvest, to continue research into the areas that they're wanting to work. So it benefits everybody because we wouldn't have a lot of these things like the statins for cholesterol and just on and on. I don't know enough about the pharmaceutical industry to start naming off things, but there's a few pills I have to take every day that make my life better. And there's somebody making money on it.
The one that's going to hit close to home is we've all seen the viral videos of the people who get the cochlear implants. You know, there's like a 30-year-old woman who hasn't heard anything in her entire life, and she gets to hear her husband's voice for the first time. Or like the little 7-year-old kid who gets to hear his mom talk for the first time and he immediately starts crying. Or like even they do it to the babies. I mean, how long did it take to develop that? And you've got to think, 10 years, 20 years. And you had to have all kinds of scientists, guys who can shrink down your electronics to tiny sizes, and all this collaboration and trial and error. And you've got to sit there and you've got to do all this and spend all this money constantly for years and years and years before you even turn a profit. Someone has to have accumulated millions and millions, sometimes billions of dollars worth of extra wealth that they can pour into these labs for that cochlear implant to ever see the light of day. And where did it happen? Where did the cochlear implants come from? Came from America. Came from the only country that doesn't have universal health care. The only country that doesn't have 20 months or whatever of paid maternity leave. Or the only country that doesn't guarantee its citizens some little amenity like we're at a resort. No, it comes from the free market. I'm sorry, I get a little on my high horse sometimes.
I'm with you there. Let's see. We've got a few companies that have done well since Trump was elected. One of them's Vertex Pharmaceuticals. I don't know anything about them, but they're up 84% since he was elective, just kind of going through a list here. You've got Boeing up 88, Applied Materials up 85, Lam Research 94%, Align Technology, Medical Specialties up 117%. Let's see, was there any other of that? But yes, NVIDIA Semiconductors up 175%, Micron Technology up 132%, NRG 128%. Well, here's one, Chemicals and Agriculture, FMC Corp, up 77%.
All right, if you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, call Gregory, 504-260-0995. You still going?
Oh, yeah, I'm still just going through another list here. You've got Boeing up 88%, Caterpillar 58%, McDonald's 49%. Now, this is through October 13th, so we're a few days past that, but just for accuracy. Home Depot up 35%, Walmart up 28%, Johnson & Johnson up 20%, ExxonMobil off 1%. Nike up 1%. Disney up 5%. Doesn't go well for everybody, does it? IBM shows here 2%, but they had a little pop the other day on beating earnings. So maybe they're positive since then.
All right, so the question that we get asked is, when is this going to turn down? How long is this going to last? You got your crystal ball over there? Is it cloudy today?
I took it out of my bag this morning.
I left mine in the glove box,
I know. I was just worried with what all I got to do. Something might happen to it, so I left it at the house. But let's take a look. Here's an article that October 9th, Market Watch. The guys behind our call and our chart of the day agree. And where is that chart? Yeah, they're the stock chart asset blog says investors are getting sucked into the market despite all the warning signs, specifically the warning sign that the S&P 500 volatility index ratio is flashing right now. And then they have this chart here. If you want to pull up the article, it's why investors are making a fatal decision by throwing more money into this market. They say the market's in deep trouble. Of course, it's been in deep trouble for the past 43 record highs this year. So it's easy to see why the bulls roll their eyes anytime a top caller makes headlines. Let's see. We've got Sven Hendrich, the Northern Trade Blog, had this nugget of wisdom to impart. And extreme market that only becomes more extreme is not any less extreme. It's just more extreme. As no risk is apparent, these extremes are then dismissed as the new normal. Kind of reminds me of Stockman this week on Maria Bartiromo's morning show. And he was, from his standpoint, he had valid points there, and talking about what's going to happen to the market. He said this tax bill, it's a pipe dream, and it's not really a tax savings because
you do cut one?
Yeah.
Do cut one.
I think the notion that we're going to have a big, big tax cut is a pipe dream. They can't pay for it, and we're in a different environment today than we were in 1981. 1981, the debt was only $940 billion. It was 30% of GDP. There was plenty of room to have a giant tax cut that was paid for by borrowing. Today, they have to find pay-fors, loopholes, base broadeners. They can't find any. Even the state and local tax savings, which allegedly was $1.3 trillion over 10 years, is falling by the wayside day by day.
I think they're
going to end up with no tax bill, or one that is so modest or so minor that it'll have very little impact on the economy.
I agree. I think the one they're proposing right now is so insignificant, it's not going to have an impact, even if it passes.
Yeah, and he's saying, basically explaining there, the way the rules are set up now, it's, you got to pay for it. But back when they did it in Reagan's era, it was completely different. Plus, they didn't have to pay for it at the time. They just grew their way into it, which they obviously did. Central bankers have flatlined risk, and investors have crossed to the other side expecting nirvana and free money forever. So far, so good, it seems. Just remember, in flatliners, the allure of nirvana turned into a running nightmare. Are they talking about the new flatliners or the one that was decades ago?
I'm going to have to go with the Kiefer Sutherland one because that's the only one I've seen.
Yeah, that's the only one I've seen, and yeah, that turned into a nightmare. And we'll continue. It's just here, just another moment here. But of course, he's well aware of bear warnings that tend to fall on deaf ears when they've been wrong for this long. So what's that crystal ball? I think this continues until a bunch of things come together. So you and Stockman, which I think we ought to play that other clip when we come back from the break. I know
we got to do Jude.
Yeah, well, he's fine. Okay. He's got a whole hour. We got an hour for that. But just that other point is, darn, where was I going with that?
Oh, they're doing this when the central banks do quantitative tightening.
Yes, I think that's important in this mix of things too, because when that goes to the other side, you need to be aware of that as well, because one thing that's helped prop this market up is all the buying of, and it's not treasuries, but U.S. securities to back their currencies.
Coming up in the next hour, we have Jude Heath stopping by, and he is the CPA that we go to for the Total Wealth Authority. So if you have a tax question, something financially related, we've got some expertise in the room to help you out. 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. You're listening to Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio. Thank you for tuning in to Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. If you need to contact the office, find our next live event, listen to the show live or on demand, remember the Gregory Ricks and Associates app.
Live from the Gregory Ricks and Associates Wealth Management Studios, this is News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Happy Saturday. Welcome to Winning at Life. This is hour two of the weekly wrap. So we're reviewing a few things from during the week. We're going to finish up the David Stockman soundbite. And we have Jude Heath, CPA, in studio with us today. So get your phones ready. Write down the number. Go put it in your notes. Create a contact. Winning at Life. Here's the number. 504-260-0995.
Jude, maybe we should replay that last little clip there. David Stockman talking about tax reform, because that's right up your alley. By the way, great job on my taxes. I've now gotten my checks in from the D.C. and Baton Rouge. And we must have done something spectacular, because I think we had to pay into Baton Rouge last year, but I got it like, I don't know, 14 cents or something back from them this year. But that's a high five that the money was coming this direction and not that direction. So a round of applause for Jude Heath.
Great. Thank you.
Gregory, are you happy with your taxes from old Jude over here?
Absolutely.
My love of Jude kind of swells a little bit when that check comes in. It's like that guy. Oh, that Jude. Look what he did for us, baby. So, yeah, David Stockman, former budget advisor under Ronald Reagan, was on Maria Bartiromo this week. And they were giving each other the business. Cut one,
I think the notion that we're going to have a big, big tax cut is a pipe dream. They can't pay for it, and we're in a different environment today than we were in 1981. 1981, the debt was only $940 billion. It was 30% of GDP. There was plenty of room to have a giant tax cut that was paid for by borrowing. Today, they have to find pay-fors, loopholes, base broadeners. They can't find any. Even the state and local tax savings, which allegedly was $1.3 trillion over 10 years is falling by the wayside day by day.
I think
they're going to end up with no tax bill or one that is so modest or so minor that it will have very little impact on the economy.
Your reaction to that, Jude Heath, from the CPA standpoint?
You know, he has some great points. You know, whether it's revenue neutral, the tax bill that we eventually get, or whether it increases to certain demographics, you know, the drain in the swamp seems to be taking a little longer, so we're not going to get any cost reductions. It's really only two sides to the national debt. It's my opinion.
All right, but what do you think about Stockman's assertion in there that this tax reform is so insignificant, or whatever will end up passing will be so insignificant, it's not going to have a big effect on the economy?
Well, it depends on, you know, what is meant by insignificant. You know, some of the reports I've read is, you know, we're talking about eliminating health deductions, you know, medical deductions. We're talking about reducing, at least for middle America, the mortgage interest deduction. Yeah, that changes the economics of anybody that's in the home market, you know, real estate.
Right. And something else Gregory and I both bristle at: if it's revenue neutral, then it can't be called a tax cut. It can be called tax reform, but there's no such thing as a revenue neutral tax cut.
Right. And it also can't be termed a tax increase either if it's revenue neutral. So I think what we're finding out with this president is that, you know, it's a bit of a chameleon. I mean, he doesn't really side, you know, he's kind of independent. And so we might wind up with a tax hit on the what we're called the fat cats.
Well, David talked about that as well, the tax brackets out there, and it depends on how you fall in the brackets. This isn't, you know, when they're reshaping this, yeah, some are going to get lower. Mm-hmm. Some are going to get higher. It depends on how it falls out there. And then there might be a fourth or fifth level in that. So some people could well get pushed into a higher bracket where they're on the edge of it. And it's then you kind of, and you were talking about in the first segment that all of a sudden I make all this money, but really I'm not making that much more because I'm pushed into the highest tax bracket and half my money goes away. So that was, I've got to grow it much more now, or I've got to dial it back.
And I was listening to Gregory's segment before. You know, he's going off on a bit of a rant. And one of the things that I was thinking about was, you know, what happens to asset prices if we remove the capital gains rate? You know, it's one of the things that's been talked about.
Cut two.
But so, he's saying this is a middle class tax.
It isn't. It's a lie.
12%, 25%, 35%.
Yeah, it's a lie. It depends on where they put the brackets. They didn't even say. These people are total fakes. I've never seen anything that was as content-free, as substanceless as this nine-pager that came out. Remember what happened in the Reagan time.
Right.
We put out our plan in February, our tax bill in March. The budget passed in April and May. They were writing the tax bill in June. Reagan signed it August 13th.
All right, your thoughts on the bracket discussion there?
I think we'll get some changes to the brackets. I agree with when I hear the president talk about, you know, making tax simpler for the middle class. I think that goes to a little bit more of a flatter tax, maybe eliminating some itemized deductions that don't really hurt. You know, a lot of folks have refinanced in these lower income rates or interest rates anyway. And so I don't necessarily agree with Stockman?
Stockman.
Yeah,
right.
I don't necessarily agree with him. I think it just, you have to see, you know, what factions and what lobbies are, you know, are going after Congress during this.
Gregory, anything? Or
yeah, it's just through? Interesting that they, you know, yeah, we've got the tax brackets, but they've not defined them, as he was pointing out, and that's going to be some good and bad there. We have the clip for the unwinding of the balance sheets.
Yeah, that's cut four.
Do you not think things are getting better? Do you not think there's fundamental strength in the backdrop for the
government? No, I do not. I think we're 100 months into this expansion, the third longest in history. There are headwinds all around the world. Mainly, the central banks are going to go into QT, quantitative tightening, in a sequence over the next 3 or 4 years, fundamentally different than the last 30 years.
Yeah, but they're doing that. Wait. What do you think about that?
Well, we've been talking about the federal balance sheet unwinding. The thing that's changed since we first started talking about, when Janet was talking about the federal balance sheet unwinding, is that Trump has introduced this concept of significantly lowering corporate tax rates. If he's able to pull that off, even if the bill is not net revenue neutral and it goes up on some of the higher incomes on the individuals, then I think that it makes the companies that are made to bring their monies back into the states, back it makes their values go up, and maybe the economy starts to generate a little bit more off of what they can produce with lower income tax rates. So that's one thing that's a little bit different when we first started talking about unwinding the balance sheet.
I just think part of the reason corporations are there are to create jobs. And if you hire people, they're going to pay taxes. Nobody's saying here that everybody has to have a 20% tax bracket, and most of corporate money flows through to buying what they need to run the business, employing people, and kicking out money to shareholders. And all that stuff becomes taxed at some point. And as a result, you should have money investing and keep growing. But when we get to the balance sheets there, that is the big concern, is where I've reasoned that all these central banks globally buying U.S. securities, will, and they're buying it with printed money, Bank of Geneva, which is Switzerland's central bank, and they pretty much buy very often, hold over $300 billion in U.S. securities. And I can show you a report. It states right there, because as institutional investors have to fill out a form showing what their assets look like, so you can tell how much they're increasing it every quarter. And I used to think, well, if selling starts and unwind, they probably wouldn't unwind that. They'll just hold it. Why? Well, they're doing it with printed money. Used to reason, why would we unwind our balance sheet? You know, it's Helicopter Ben said it's going to be easy to unwind. But then it became larger than he expected. And then the unwind under our current Federal Reserve chairwoman, has been difficult to unwind. So I was thinking, well, why unwind it? And then David Stockman mentioned they're going to need dry powder for next time. I didn't think about that, but I figured, well, we can just go to $10 trillion on the balance sheet. But if all that selling starts, so we start tightening and then the others do, and pulling liquidity out of the system, this could be some scary stuff. Or maybe not. It's just we don't know, because it hasn't been done before.
I think we may have an end to the record close after record close after record close. You know, just like if you flood the market with a bunch of new houses, you flood it with a bunch of new securities, prices are just going to plummet. Your thoughts, Jude?
Well, I go back to that if we get reduced corporate income tax rates and we get some type of exclusion on them bringing money back into the states, whatever they've earned abroad, maybe those corporate profits could prevent a free fall, keep some of it from.
What happens at the shareholder meeting and you have these central banks that own all these shares? Do they get to vote on how these corporations are governed? Do they get to pick board of directors? Like, are these companies going to be somewhat, at least in some small percentage, controlled by central banks from here on out? Isn't that kind of a weird overlap?
Well, you get your vote, but I don't know how much any one vote, other than if you have a concentration of shares, really, you know, then overrides another. What do you think,
Dave? I think we're going to get some type of tax bill. I wouldn't bet the farm on this year, and it's not going to be like it was in the Reagan era, and I think the market keeps going. That crystal ball effect, I think we get something positive there, just like we did this week, and this market keeps going forward for a while.
All right. If you have a financial situation or tax question, not quite sure what to do, give us a call, 504-260-0995. We got Gregory Ricks here, as always. And Jude, he's joining us for the rest of the hour. He is the CPA, the Total Wealth Authority. I'm James Parker. You're listening to Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio.
I enjoy fast cars, so I go to NOLA Motorsports Park in Avondale. Gregory Ricks here. I'm a preferred access member. I get to take my own car to the track. Yeah, it might be a fast one, but it gets to go there. Talk about going to another world and escape. I can't recommend it enough. NOLA Motorsports Park. Adrenaline fun. See what they're all about at NOLAMotor.com.
Winning at Life invites you to our Women and Wealth event, Thursday, November 2nd, Ruth's Chris Steakhouse in Metairie. This women's-only event will include a unique dining experience of wine tasting paired with the presented Ruth's Chris menu. In addition to this educational food and wine experience, you will also meet the Total Wealth Authority, the team to handle all your retirement needs. Reserve your seat today, 504-832-9200, the Gregory Rickson Association. It's app or GregoryRicks.com.
Caroline or Change opens next weekend at the Westwego Performing Arts Theater. The story is set in Lake Charles, Louisiana, 1963. And it's cool to see a story about our area that becomes a Broadway hit in 2004. Caroline or Change, Friday and Saturday at 7:30, Sunday at 2. For tickets, call 504-885-2000, the JPAS app or jpas.org.
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
Look, you're out there thinking about, oh, this market, I've got to find some safe ways. Avoid the variable for that reason, because it is not a risk-averse tool. But if you're considering it, I suggest you get a second opinion. And we darn sure wouldn't have had a long surrender period.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO. The Ricks Report with Gregory Ricks.
In a Social Security disability appeal, do you have to disclose your financials?
It's going to be about your health, whether or not you can actually work. Really doesn't come down to the money. It comes down to whether or not you're disabled. Now, from that standpoint, if we would probably have to speak to maybe Wes, where he's been involved in that, to find out more. But I've never heard of anybody ever having this guy. Yeah, I was declined because I'm making too much money. Well, how are you making money or financials? If you're disabled, you're not working.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Find me at GregoryRicks.com, the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
Enough to deliver, small enough to care. Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Happy Saturday. Welcome back. Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio. I'm your co-host, James Parker. Also in studios, our buddy Jude Heath. And look, we like him based on his own personality, but a lot of this is based on the big checks that we get after tax time. Kind of makes me like him a little bit more. And if you're not happy with your guy, I know this guy's done a stellar job for me. Maybe you should take a look at a switch. perhaps. He's also going to be at our next live event. It's the women-only event. Jude, did you realize it's our last Gregory Ricks Live of the year?
No, I didn't, but I really like the women's-only events. It's hard to get a word in edgewise. Those ladies, they really... The conversations keep going and clicking, and it's just a lot of fun.
We had a caller yesterday into the office, actually called twice, and she had flipped out or something, accusing us of being discriminatory, that it wasn't fair for us to only let women in. Well, last, 6 weeks ago or something, we had a... We were non-discriminatory event because we had men and women, and I think our first event somewhere in 2018 will let both sexes in. But one of the things we found when it's just women, they open up and talk more. They'll ask questions. When you have men and women, they're not as open, and I like to give them that opportunity to not feel pressure of the spouse or something. Just start asking questions that concern them and things they're thinking, but they wouldn't ordinarily ask. It creates revelations. And that's why I like the events.
Well, look, and yeah, it is discriminatory on purpose because financial planning, bad financial planning appears to be discriminatory. 80% of elderly women who live in poverty were not, or I should say widows, were not in poverty before their husbands died. So yeah, we do have to do some extra stuff for women from a financial angle because they suffer more from bad financial planning. We're just adjusting to the market here. Questions, 504-260-0995. This is Ray in Uptown. You're next up on Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks. Ray?
Hey, guys. So it's kind of a comment and a question. The last time we had a major tax cuts for individuals and corporations was under George Bush. Do you have any idea how many jobs were created because of those tax cuts? Because it's a negative number, right?
That would require a little bit of research, and I wouldn't know that number off the top of my head. How about you, Jude? You kind of know that number. I know the caller's suggesting negative.
You had the recession. You had millions of jobs lost. So I keep hearing Trump saying, oh, he's going to create all these jobs. I mean, we're basically at full employment. We went from, what, under Bush, 9, 8, 10% unemployment, and then Obama, it's 4%. I mean, that's full employment under...
I don't think we're at full employment. And how many graduates do we have out of school every year? We've got to keep producing jobs and produce them at a larger rate, and we need a better system. I don't know. What's your suggestion? Keep taxes high and let those jobs go overseas?
Thank you for your call, Ray. The next live event coming up. Now, you were able to witness the last one with the wine tasting. What'd you think? Did we even ask him about it since then?
No, I'm on since then. Yeah.
I hadn't seen him.
Yeah.
We've been busy.
What'd you think?
Very educational. It's change of format with the, I guess you call them wine flights. And so, Gregory does a great job.
Yeah, I didn't know this was something he was so into, but he had a lot of stories and a lot of wine knowledge there. And it was kind of cool for me because you and I hadn't been to that event before, and we go to all of them, is I kind of felt myself being in the audience. You know, I wasn't part of the presentation here. I'm just listening because I'm hearing all these stories for the first time. That was kind of different for me, but it was more social, and there was a lot more interaction, even though the guys were there because of this format. We broke up the tables and all that. I'm really looking forward to what's going to be different when you put a women-only setting with the wine tasting.
Yeah, that will be different. So,
since you mentioned it, we did have a lot more interaction with the women at that event that had men and women. But it just, I don't know. Now, some listeners think, yeah, but you were pouring wine, so, oh, yeah, they opened up. Not really. We weren't pouring much. It was more like a tasting, not just fill the glass up, let's keep going.
Yeah, let's get them all lit and put them behind the wheel of the car. Good luck getting home, y'all.
Well, the other thing that changed, too, is you changed the seating. So you put it more together in pockets around the room rather than, linear. So that always increases conversation more just from that.
Yeah, when we're talking about wines, and you've had my take on quality and all, and if I go in the grocery store and looking for a wine, I'm probably looking at 20 and up. But we've got a Market Watch article. Wall Street Journal actually has kind of a wine division where you can get publications, reports, and information and news on wine, and they'll help you buy some as well in that way, meaning they have arrangements for you to be sold wine. But in Market Watch, they ask Silvestre Fernandez, a sommelier and former wine director at one of the poshest restaurants in Los Angeles, for advice on finding wines under $15 in well-stocked grocery stores. Was a little surprised at what? Real quality under $15. He said the first step is think beyond California wines. It's easier to get good French, Italian, or Spanish wine between $6.99 and $14.99. The same is true for wines from Chile and Argentina.
Hey, there's those Malbecs right there.
Yeah. Yeah. And then there's a cheat sheet from him on wine and types in the regions that produce them, with tasty options under $15. And it's called The Beauty of Wine is All About Discovering. Yeah, you need to sample, taste, and enjoy.
But what we've also stumbled on here is some new write-offs, right? Doesn't that make, if you are hosting wine tasting financial events, a trip to Napa Valley is, and there's no gray area here, it literally is research for work that we will use in a work setting. Is that what you hear?
The only thing I'd say to that is just make sure you keep a travel diary of your vineyards, where you're going, what you're looking for, and what you're finding.
Can you just send them a link to your Facebook page? Because that's a travel diary.
Knowledge.
You might have hit pause on your column there.
Oh, I'm good. You might want it.
Oh, yeah. For your broke grocery habits, Parker. Fred in Metairie, you're next up on Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks and Jude Heath is with us. How can we help you, Fred?
Good morning. How you doing?
What's up, Fred?
All right. Quick on IRA. When you pass away, is there a way to pass that IRA into your children for a lower tax bracket so you don't have to pay a full run of taxes?
Here's the bottom line on qualified money. It is taxed as ordinary income. So when you're leaving it behind, it depends on big discussion. Part of the day is the tax brackets. What tax bracket are they in?
And well, it's small children, say. So they're very little tax bracket.
Well, are you planning to pass away while they're still young? I don't know. Is there something we don't know on part of the question here?
Specific question, Greg. Let's say I got $100,000. I got four grandchildren. Okay.
Okay.
And if I die at $100,000, I have to pay taxes out of my bracket. But if I left $100,000 to them equally for $25,000, and they have no income, would their tax benefits be for them? Would I not have to pay taxes on that?
They're going to have required minimum distributions because they're a non-spouse beneficiary, and it would be subject to income limits. They might not have to pay any taxes as young children, depending on how much the RMDs are. That's more for Jude there, because there's possibly no taxes for them.
And, you know, depending on the children's financial condition when they get access to this money, you know, the IRS always allows you to take the distribution in equal yearly installments based on your actuarial life. And so, you know, it would continue to grow. It would stay. You have to make that election the year after your death when they get the funds. So that
default is the stretch. So they would, you know, automatically be taking it out over their lifetime. So, Jude, what's a minimum level of income a child would be taxed on?
Well, if it's investment income, it's, you know, somewhere around the filing requirement is somewhere around the addition of the standard deduction and the reduced the personal exemption and the reduced standard deduction, somewhere around $6,000 or $7,000. But of course, these children are going to have earnings at some point too, and that will require them to file, and then they'll just pick up their small piece of whatever their yearly amount is.
Yeah, RMD on $25,000, not much income. Not going to be taxed.
Does that help a little more, Fred?
Yeah, my last question, I just did it clear in my mind. If I took $100,000, I'd be taxed at my bracket. But if I left them equals to four, they'd be taxed in their bracket, which is basically nothing, right?
Correct.
Okay, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I think we're misunderstanding his question at the beginning of his call, but we got around to it.
He can't gift it to them and avoid that, because if he's gifting, that's a taxable event to him.
Right.
To do so. If he's leaving that to them as a beneficiary as a result of his death, that money moving to them, they're non-spouse beneficiaries, they'll have RMDs, they'll get taxed at their bracket, which obviously is going to be much less than if he cashed $100,000.
Right. All right. 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We got Jude Heath in studio. This is Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio.
Mortgage Gumbo with your chef, Dwayne Stein.
The correspondent lender is now over 60% of the business that's being done out there. I think what's happening with these big banks, this isn't talking about them losing profit. It's talking about them losing employees. Because you know why? Dwayne's going to get his clients the best deals out there, and they don't have to pay me to the back end.
Mortgage Gumbo with Dwayne Stein this Saturday at 1 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Gregory Ricks and Associates brings you the Total Wealth Authority, the team to handle all aspects of your money. Meet Stephanie from Dwell Nola Realty.
The title companies, at least the ones that Tracy and I work really closely with, and the lenders that we work closely with, they know their stuff, and that makes our lives a whole lot easier.
The Total Wealth Authority. Summon us with the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, gregoryricks.com, or 504-832-9200.
Sharing has never meant as much as it does now. Everything is up for the world to see. But what if the sharing could be used to make a difference? The National MS Society is building a place where everyone can share their experiences for good. If you have a story, share it. If you have a solution, share that too. Because together, we are stronger. Join us at WeAreStrongerThanMS.org.
Winning at Life invites you to our Women and Wealth event, Thursday, November 2nd, Ruth's Chris Steakhouse in Metairie. This women's-only event will include a unique dining experience of wine tasting paired with the presented Ruth's Chris menu. In addition to this educational food and wine experience, you will also meet the Total Wealth Authority, the team to handle all your retirement needs. Reserve your seat today, 504-832-9200. The Gregory Ricks and Associates app or gregoryricks.com.
Hello, it's me, the designer jeans in the back of your closet. What happened to us? I used to summer in the Hamptons, and now I'm stuck behind a pair of sweats. Okay, maybe I never really fit you right, but I got a lot more Sunday fun days left in me. So take me to Goodwill, where I can really make a difference.
Your donations to Goodwill create jobs, training programs, and education assistance for people in your community. To find your nearest donation center, go to goodwill.org. Donate stuff. Create jobs. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
The contents of this show are meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not meant to take place of your attorney, accountant, tax professional, personal trainer, football coach, interior decorator, or those fortune tellers at Jackson Square. Please consult a financial advisor before making all investment decisions.
Gregory Ricks and Associates is a registered investment advisory firm. If you'd like a copy of Form ADV, our full disclosures, call the office 504-832-9200 or go to gregoryricks.com.
Daily dose of financial wisdom. Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Welcome back. Winning at Life, weekly wrap. In studio this hour, Jude Heath, CPA. He's been getting call after call after call. You can get in line as well. 504-260-0995. We know, yeah, we had a big tax day this month, so everybody that had extended to the end of the year on personal taxes had to deal with that. I don't know. I'm not so as happy as James because I always end up cutting a check for more money at that period of time, which isn't fun because they're going to like charge me some little bit of interest and penalty as well. And, you know, that I won't give it an adjective. I'll just let it go at that.
Well, listen, if you're upset at your tax bill, you should do what I do. Try not to be so damn successful. To the phones we go.
That's it. That keeps you in the lower marginal tax
bracket. Y'all weren't supposed to laugh that much. Terry in Gretna, you're next up on Winning It Live with Gregory Riggs, and we got Jude Heath on board. How can we help you?
Hi. I have a follow-up question to the last caller. If a Roth IRA, not traditional, but a Roth stays in place and you plan to have it in place when you die, what do the beneficiaries have to do? Because I thought he was talking about a traditional.
We didn't clarify that. I don't know. I thought we were talking about a traditional as well. But you, Terry, you've brought up a good point. Now, as far as a Roth IRA, a spouse beneficiary will not have to take RMDs from it because a spouse has the option to convert it to his or her own Roth IRA. Now, if it's a non-spouse beneficiary that comes over to them, they will have required minimum distributions. That might be a family member that's not a spouse, kids, the friend down the street, or the friend in Memphis, wherever. It's a non-spouse beneficiary. They will have RMDs, but they will not be taxed.
Right.
Okay, what I don't understand, I do not have RMDs with a Roth at 70.5. I understood that I do not have to.
Well, we were talking about beneficiaries. If that's your Roth IRA, the owner, that's why a spousal beneficiary will not have, once they move it to their name, will not have RMDs as owner of the Roth. And you will never, unless they change the law, so it never may not be never, but as the laws are now, you do not have required minimum distributions on a Roth IRA.
Okay. But my beneficiaries at my death will with a Roth?
Yeah, non-spouse beneficiaries will have required minimum distributions, but they will not be taxable. That's the cool thing about a Roth.
Uh-huh.
Jude, am I right?
You're right. And Terry, what you need to think about it is that you know the underlying thought with the IRS is that they don't want these non-taxable accounts to continue throughout generations. So as the as it converts to a beneficiary, they want plans to be made in the next generation to start to take monies out.
Okay, that really clarifies everything.
Okay.
I see why. But that's interesting. Okay. So there might be like a 6-month period within which they need to take it all out?
Well, they'll have until the year after. I guess you're talking about the date of the year of your death.
Yes, I died today at the end of 2018.
They will have to work it out with whoever holds that instrument by the end of the next year. That's right.
Great.
Yeah, year of your death, if there's an RMD, say, on a traditional IRA account, that has to be resolved. But if you're holding Roth money, year of death, there is no required minimum distribution. But the year following the death, the beneficiaries have to deal with required minimum distributions, depending on the type of account, whether it's spouse or non-spouse.
And they do have the option to take it all in 1 year. And that is one thing that, I don't know what you're talking about as far as your beneficiaries, but that's one thing that, you know, should be looked at since a Roth wouldn't be taxable.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Anything else, Terry?
That's Well, thank you.
Thank you very much.
You always have the right to take it out as fast as you want. There's no rule that, oh, you got to do the stretch. You cash that thing. And what happens to most non-spouse beneficiary IRAs? Inherited money in general, yeah, it's gone through in 3 years.
Yeah, I
kind of
like,
similar to Powerball winners, what, or lottery winners. They go through the money swiftly.
Don't you like how the government wants to set up something with a little bit of tax deferment or some sort of special tax classification to help you save for retirement? But not too much. Once you're 70 and a half, you need to start taking that money out. I need to get them taxes. I need you to get that money. But you turn around for a Roth, they're like, no, we already got our taxes. You can take it out. You can leave it in. Do whatever you want. Put it in a bag. Throw it in Lake Pontchartrain. We don't
whatever.
Care. Yeah. We already got ours. If you want, I mean, I guess you could take it. What are the rules? Whenever you want, however fast you want, whatever increments you want. We're not getting taxes off of it, so we don't care.
That's right.
Freedom abounds.
That's the operative. No,
another thing to keep in mind, non-spouse beneficiaries do not have those protection where qualified money's protected from being sued and people going after it up to $1 million. But non-spouse, there is no protections on that. Why? The IRS said, well, you're going through it anyhow.
Right.
Hey, so did you see they released the tax brackets for 2018? This is probably, I don't know, y'all might have like a Super Bowl watching party or something for this at a CPA office.
No, I didn't see that.
All right. Well, this isn't going to be for when we're doing our taxes next year where we're going to be bracketed at for the money we earned in 2017. This is going to be on the taxes that we're doing in 2019 for the work that we're going to do next year. And, you know, this whole mindset about like having a plan and knowing what you're going to do next year, this is kind of fun once you get into it. I went the first 35 years just flying by the seat of my pants. This will be great. But we're not getting a whole lot of movement here. They just incrementally creep these up. But the big jump is going to happen at $77,400. So try not to make an adjusted gross income over $77,400 if you can help. If not, then your next cutoff's at $156,000. And this is for married joint returns.
So that's the Parker plan.
Well, let's see if I can somehow possibly keep under 156,000. But really, you know, the fun part is seeing how much you really made, like your gross income versus your adjusted gross income. That's what I call the Jude spread. And we are working to make the Jude spread even bigger next year. And throw some ideas, so some things I can do out there to stay under this 77 number. Because I'll do it.
You're trying to stay under 77 or under 156.
Well, 156, I couldn't get there if I wanted to. So that
with you, nobody's holding you back, right? You don't have an upside?
Is there another Gregory Ricks where I can do 12 shows a week and double my income? Then I may get close to that?
Well, you asked the question. So one thing you can do is, in your industry and field, is develop more markets. You know, I think you're in Houston.
No, I did some fill-in work for them over the summer. But we're on here. We're on in Biloxi. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're talking to other stations. How would that help?
Well, what that would do is as you were over there, you know, developing more markets, that's like you say about the Napa Wine Journal, you know.
More write-offs?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what's the deal? Like if I go over there, like if I went to Biloxi and Gregory and I did the show, because we were going to try and do a show at Cars on the Coast or Cruising the Coast, but literally there was not a hotel room from state line to state line. It was a loss. We got a plan earlier next year. But if we went over there and did a show, the money we made that day, we would be taxed Mississippi rules, wouldn't we? Is that how that works?
Right. Well, that's right. But we were talking
about... That'd been one of our biggest income days of the year.
Huge. they have a smaller income tax over there?
It's pretty comparable, but you were talking about the federal rates and what you can do to stay below,
right?
Not 157 or 77.
Mm-hmm.
So that was just a suggestion that I had, is, you know, start to map out the semicircle around our current listening.
And everything involved with those trips would be...
Mm-hmm.
All right. But, hey, I want to jump to that next discussion when we get back. What happens if you're mobile and you're working? Mm-hmm. Hey, if you're a plumber and you go fix a toilet in Slidell, but you live in Pass Christian, you know, how does all that work out? Questions, still bring them on. 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. Got Jude Heath next to me. This is Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio.
Gregory Ricks here. I enjoy fast cars, so I go to NOLA Motorsports Park in Avondale. It's the ultimate getaway for me because it's hard to worry about business, radio, stress when I'm going 135 miles an hour in a straightaway, and then I have to slow down to about 60 in a few seconds to make that right-hand turn. Oh, the adrenaline. See what they're all about at NOLAMotor.com.
Winning at Life invites you to our Women and Wealth event, Thursday, November 2nd, Ruth's Chris Steakhouse in Metairie. This women's-only event will include a unique dining experience of wine tasting paired with the presented Ruth's Chris menu. In addition to this educational food and wine experience, you will also meet the Total Wealth Authority, the team to handle all your retirement needs. Reserve your seat today, 504-832-9200, the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or GregoryRicks.com.
Caroline or Change opens next weekend at the Westwego Performing Arts Theater. Pause your latest TV binge and experience live local talent rocking a Broadway hit that is set in Louisiana in the 60s. Caroline or Change, Friday and Saturday at 7:30, Sunday at 2. For tickets, call 504-885-2000, the JPAS app or jpas.org.
Gregory Ricks and Associates is Louisiana's 401k and retirement authority.
And if you're not clear on the guidance that you're getting, get a second opinion on how any of these worlds work regarding your fees, regarding the stress on the portfolio, or how much should be in fixed, and then are you getting the best deal out there? And you're not really getting unbiased information elsewhere.
504-832-9200 or GregoryRicks.com.
The Ricks Report with Gregory Ricks.
I think of all IRAs as self-directed. It's your money. You're in charge. You could hire somebody to help you with it, like you could hire our firm or another, or you could just do an E-Trade account or something like that and self-direct it in a way that you're the one making the decisions on what to buy. But a lot of times when people are mentioning the self-directed, what are they doing? They're going to use a third-party administrator, and I want to buy a house and rent it, or I want to buy vending machines or some other idea. But what you're also possibly doing is getting yourself in a world of hurt that if you make this go bad and make a mistake, Uncle Sam still comes back for his money.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Find me at GregoryRicks.com, the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory. Winning at Life on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Happy Saturday. Welcome back. Winning It Live. Gregory Ricks, iHeartRadio. I'm James Parker. Jude Heath's in studio for one more segment. If you have a financial situation or especially a tax situation, not quite sure what to do, 504-260-0995. I had someone tell me this week, you say the number too fast. Fine. That's
you do? You should have me say the number more.
Go.
504-260-0995.
Hey, so I was just talking with our producer Angie, and the guy listening probably doesn't know this, but she's been doing some double duty over on Channel 4 as of late. Oh, look, and then someone called right as I was about to talk to her. But she was telling me that the anchors and stuff and the people who work there, they know she's on this financial show too. So we ask her TV questions, and when she's at the TV station, they're asking her financial questions.
Really?
And radio questions. Yeah, and something she learned that we were just chatting about is these anchors, you know, the men and women both are in the similar situation where they have to spend tons of money on their, but it's not a uniform, it's just their clothing that they wear on the set, but they're not allowed to write it off, even though it seems sort of as a business expense. Did I describe that correctly?
Yes, and it's crazy because it is required, you know, for them to have their job to wear certain types of nice clothing, high-end specifically, on camera, you know, and it's crazy because there is a bill that they have to, or there's a, it's an expense that they have to keep up with all year, but I think the rule is if you could wear it to church, you can't write it off. That's what they told me.
What's the rule there, Jude?
Well, the most prolific case in this regard is the Liberace case that was in the 60s, where the tax court specifically ruled that his boas and sequins what that tax court said at that time is if you could walk around on the street with it, that it was not a deduction.
I don't think he should walk around the street wearing that. So
he's Liberace. He can do it if he wants to. Look, the secret's out, okay? We all know. But that's so weird because you couldn't even write off like your parking pass at the garage across the street and goofy things like that. But you can't tell me that, you know, you're going to be wearing a Giorgio Armani suit next time you go to Rouse's. Still no write-off. So look, now let me throw it under the bus real quick. You know, for someone that's been working over at the TV station, kind of splitting time, there's no altruism here. She's worried about herself. She's worried about writing off her own clothes. She was saying, yeah, my friends were asking about their clothes. It's okay to be selfish on this show. Capitalist pigs are welcome.
I mean, my point is the clothes is not cheap. I mean, it's just, you know what I'm saying? You would think this would be an expense for your job. And I just can't wrap my head around how you can't write anything off. There's no loophole or there's no other way to do it.
What if it all the garments have the NBC? I'm just making
the
up
logo.
A name.
I was about to
the
say the
logo
same thing.
Makes it a uniform.
Yes, that's right. So you would buy the Giorgio Armani suit and get, you know, Gregory Ricks embroidered on top of it, and then it becomes a write off.
You listening over there?
See, now you can go tell them, Angie.
I have a question. It has to be on top, or can it be anywhere on the suit?
The rule there with the IRS is it can't be like on the edge of a sleeve, a quarter of an inch, and it has to. It's advertising, and it has to be, you know,
he knows,
available.
Oh, that could change the whole industry. They'll have sponsorship and stuff on the jackets and the dresses. Weather brought to you by...
Yeah, hey, someone tell Sheba Turk I said, you're welcome. Right? All you got to do is...
I'll pass it on.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. And something else we were discussing right before the break, though, Jude, is these people that have mobile jobs, how complicated it can get. We're going to get right back to that after we talk to Ron in Uptown. Ron, you're next up on Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, sir?
Hi. Yes, I have investment property in an LLC, and I know if I sell it, there's a capital gain tax as well as a depreciation recapture. But let's say upon my death, it's passed on to my children. Do they get a stepped-up basis, or is there any tax implications to them if they sell it?
Yeah, they do get a stepped-up basis upon your death.
So the capital gain depreciation recapture basically goes away.
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Don't be excited. You're like, I would be, yes, they receive a step-up basis. They don't have to pay tax. And that's one reason we talk about people trying to, I want to go ahead and give some of my land to my kids and stuff. You probably should do some structuring for that because, you know, say, well, you know, I bought it back in 1930 for $2 an acre and now it's worth $500 an acre, $1,500. Yeah, you want that step up basis. That's the way I would want to inherit it. Step it up.
Yeah, what do you think? You're King Lear? We got to give out our inheritance before you die. All right, Jude Heath, what would happen if Gregory and I had done that remote Cars on the Coast or cruising? Why do I keep saying it wrong? Cruising the Coast. How complicated does that get next year when I file my taxes with you?
Well, you just would have a Mississippi part of the earnings.
No, no, it's not going to be complicated for me. It's going to be complicated for you.
Yeah, so you'd file that little piece of earnings. Mississippi's going to want their piece.
It's just that simple?
Because
we talked about on the show before, you know, if you're playing for the Saints when you have your game in Tampa Bay, no income tax there. But if you have your game over at one of the new L.A. empty stadiums, super tax is there. So you're beholden to where the function is actually performed.
Right. And that was one of the things I want to talk about today is that, right after October the 16th, we had some folks coming in this year saying, well, I did all this work in Texas or I did all this work in Florida. Why is Louisiana taxing me? Because it's earned income, and the way the Louisiana laws work is you get to deduct a piece of your tax that you paid in the state that you earned, but it comes back back on your Louisiana return. And since you didn't pay tax in either Texas or Florida or non-income tax state, there's nothing to deduct. It's all taxable to Louisiana, and that befuddles people, taxpayers.
Well, it should,
right?
That's not cool.
No, right. And so that was just and as the states get to be more aggressive about you'll see more rules changing that Louisiana's just as broke as the next. And so if you go, let's say you had you did a cars on the a cars in Texas segment.
They have and a coast in Texas. We can cruise
cars on the coast.
It'll just
Texas.
Be in Galveston, yeah.
And so there's no income tax in Texas. Well, you're taxed on that in Louisiana as a Louisiana resident.
Now, how do I get taxed on that? When the money is put in my bank account here, because I could start another account and just keep that money offshore, and just open a bank account in Houston and leave it there, maybe.
Well, offshore accounts present their own problems, but let's just say
not offshore, leaving it across the river over there in Texas.
Yeah, Houston. How about that?
So presumably your Texas income would be on your 1099 as well.
Okay.
And so that would just get, moved over to your Louisiana income tax. You would pay Louisiana income tax.
Now, you're considering it as an employee, right? But a business owner could have a separate entity structured over there that revenue, what you make there stays there, kind of like Vegas thing.
Now you're talking. Yeah, that's the next step up. I like that, Jude.
No.
Both wrong.
What you make there, because you're a Louisiana resident, comes back.
So now I'm thinking what would be the individual version of the corporate inversion?
Well, what's the reverse there? Okay, we're moving to Texas Monday. So we're making our money there. If we made money over here,
it would still be taxable here, but not everything would be taxable. What you made over there would be non-taxable. So
that's double-edged, They're cheating us in one way from that. Well, but if that's good for the goose, it's good for the gander. Okay, well, I don't have state income tax, so because I made some, you're not getting it. But on the opposite side, it's, you didn't pay state tax there, but you live here, so we're going to tax it all. What the heck?
Right. A couple years ago, we had a high-profile case for Louisiana where they went after a company that had helicopter service and platforms flying in through Louisiana space, and they domiciled that company in Florida, a non-taxable state, and they weren't putting Louisiana tax on any of the pilots' W-2s, and Louisiana threw the book at them.
Because they flew over a part of
Louisiana?
There
was no port here. And they weren't landing here.
Well, they were going to the platforms.
So offshore. International water?
I don't know if it was international.
They didn't go far enough out.
Maybe they only... Yeah, maybe the way is you only serve international platforms.
You're being taxed in the airspace.
It's 12 miles, right? 12 miles is where international waters start, right?
Okay. Taxed in the airspace.
Mm-hmm. Well, they never rest.
Well, what about these airlines? You fly over the state, you get a tax bill as a pilot from every state.
I wonder. Yeah, I wonder too. I don't do any
can of worms there.
Jude, thank you very much for stopping by and letting us arrest some of your Saturday. Go enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Great.
We'll get back at it on Monday. Questions, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. It's Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio.
Thank you for tuning in to Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. If you need to contact the office, find our next live event, listen to the show live or on demand, remember the Gregory Ricks and Associates app.
Live from the Gregory Ricks and Associates Wealth Management Studios, this is News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Hey there, happy Saturday. Last hour, Winning at Life. Yeah, we do this every Saturday from 10 to 1. It is the weekly wrap, so we're talking about what all happened this week and what's going forward. Financial news, financial tips, answering your questions. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks, and I'll tell you what, I think I'm going to give you all a test. Get your pen and paper ready. It's a four-question test. We'll see who can pass it.
Oh, I love tests. I'm actually pretty good at those. I'm a good test taker.
Oh, you like tests?
Yes.
Okay.
Apparently, I'm not good at auditions, but I'm good at tests. 504-260-0995 if you have a financial situation. Not quite sure what to do. What?
Did you do an audition I don't know about?
In July.
July. Oh, but I knew about that one.
Of course you knew about it.
Yeah. I called and told them up to...
You knew about it before I did, probably, didn't you? I think you did.
I don't remember, but I called and told them that just tell you didn't do well.
I'm tired of this guy knowing what I'm doing next before I do. That happened like four times this summer. I'm like, could you stop it? You want to do the test now?
We can.
All right, because I want to do what they were doing on Fox Business on Thursday. Where were you in 1987 on Black Monday when the market dropped 500 points? And they showed the pictures of James Varney. Not only did he have hair, but it was brown. Wow, that's amazing. And he was reporting on the finances back then. They had Neil Cavuto, who looked kind of like Fred Savage in the Wonder Years. He was so young. And then Lou Dobbs was at it. I don't think I'd ever seen him pre-gray hair either. Though he had a little bit creeping already in 1987. I was thinking, hey, yeah, where was I? October 19th, 1987. What was I doing? Oh, I don't really remember because I was 10. But I was just tootling around, and I guess, what would that be, fifth grade or something like that? I really don't know. I was 10. It's playing Mario Brothers. That's about it. What were you doing in 1987? Where'd you live? Where I live with my parents, middle of nowhere. Were you
New Orleans.
Were you your own company as of yet?
No.
Gregory Ricks and Associates?
Employee.
You mind saying who you work for?
Several companies.
Were you married? Or were you swinging bachelor, Gregory, in 1987? October 19th, 1987.
I don't remember.
Wow.
The specific timing.
You're a hopeless romantic, that. Gregory.
The specific timing of that.
What car did you drive in 1987? I bet you remember that.
Honda Accord.
I knew it. You don't remember if you're married or not, but you remember your car. That's a car guy right there. I
shouldn't have answered that.
Yeah. No, I don't know what woman I was with, but I can remember my vehicle. That's for sure. All right, let's do the test. Got to make me look like the bad guy again. Go ahead.
Which of the following statements describe the main function of the stock market?
Ooh, nice and vague. Okay.
You're participating, Angie?
Angie, yeah. You got to be in on this, too.
Did you get the question? Which of the following statements describe the main function of the stock market? We have five choices.
Wait. Now go ahead. I was going to say, what was she doing in 1987?
Okay. I know what I was doing. I remember.
What, you were like four?
And what car did you have?
I couldn't drive. No, I was seven.
She had a Tonka truck.
And I was living in New Orleans East, and I was playing Super Mario Brothers.
There you go.
Question number one. Which of the following statements describe the main function of the stock market? A, the stock market brings people together who want to buy stocks together with people who want to sell stocks. B, the stock market helps predict stock earnings. C, the stock market results in an increase in the price of stocks. D, none of the above. Or E, not sure.
Do we go ahead and tell our answer now? You want to go first?
Oh, I can do not sure? That's great.
Okay.
You'll be wrong. Mine's A.
Don't be harsh on participants in the quiz.
Okay.
Thank you. The answer is A. The stock market brings people who want to buy stocks together with people who want to sell stocks.
Okay.
Next question. If you had $100 in a savings account and the interest rate was 2% per year, after 5 years, how much do you think you would have in the account if you left the money to grow? A, exactly $102. B, less than $102. C, more than $102. Or D, not sure.
All right, so C was more?
A is exactly $102. B, less than $102. C, more than $102. D, not sure.
I say C.
I'm going with C as well.
You're both correct.
All right. Well, that one wasn't too hard. In fact, that was so easy. I'm like, is this a trick? Am I missing something? Is this a double trick question?
All right.
Where am I? It printed weird.
There it is.
It printed weird.
Question three.
I have it up here. This printing didn't work too well. Hey, don't be looking at my answer sheet.
Yeah, Barker.
Well, no, there was another question on there that he hadn't asked. Why do you got to go to your computer?
Because I have the test right here. Okay. It didn't print out correctly.
Okay.
So, let's see. If the interest rate on your savings account was 1% per year and inflation was 2% per year, after 1 year, how much would you be able to buy with the money in the account? I'll repeat the question. If the interest rate on your savings account was 1% per year and inflation rate was 2% per year, after 1 year, how much would you be able to buy with the money in the account? A, more than today. B, exactly the same as today. C, less than today. And D, not sure. A, more than today. B, exactly the same as today. C, less than today. D, not sure.
You want me to go first?
I was going to guess less than today.
I'm going C as well.
Correct.
Okay. Not bad. Next.
Next is, which provides a safer return, buying a single company stock or a mutual fund? Which provides a safer return, buying a single company stock or a mutual fund? A is single company stock. B, mutual fund. C, not sure.
Angie?
Not sure.
I'm going to go B.
It is B.
The mutual fund.
Mutual fund. About half of millennials answered this question correctly. The correct answer is mutual fund.
Only half?
The reason more boomers correctly answer these questions as compared to millennials is likely because they have more years of saving and investing experience than millennials. And frankly, neither age group is particularly adept at financial literacy. They did a survey on this. So I thought it was neat to do. We do this at times on the show. We've done it a few times. But they did a survey of more than 2,300 adults, which asked both millennials ages 20 to 36 and boomers 53 to 71 a basic set of financial questions. Boomers overall did better than millennials. And that was the test.
What was the age range on millennials again?
20 to 36.
See, now I'm not a millennial in this one.
I'm not either.
I know. That kind of shifts. You've noticed that
as
well.
Yeah, from column to column. I don't know. I'm the oldest Gen X. I mean, the youngest Gen Xer or the oldest millennial. I don't know.
You don't want to act like a millennial either because you don't. It's one of two things. You don't always have your phone with you waiting to text and a response, or you just don't respond to mine.
Well, now, look, I made the mistake of one day saying that I'm always have my phone on me.
So no, he was acting millennial that day, but he's not.
But I am on my phone an insane amount. I text while I'm driving. I would... If I'm at a party or if I'm at a table with a group of friends, I don't feel weird that I'm on my phone jacking around and half my friends are doing it. This is the most normal thing in the world to me.
Are your friends millennials?
No, most of my friends are not.
But what's cool about our age is that you're like that now, but we can remember a time when we didn't live like that. You know?
Yeah, we had the analog childhood and the digital adulthood. We got a foot in each camp.
But you saw how I worded that. Just to mess with you.
Yes, no, I noticed that. It's pick on James Day. That's fine. We had a lot of fun last night. Got to make up for it today. Hey, so you had the nice little rundown on things you shouldn't skimp on. And I've always said that there's two things you shouldn't skimp on, and they're both in the list.
Really?
Yeah. Number one is toilet paper. And that has only been reinforced by my experience here in the corporate world, where if I walk down this hallway and try to use the facilities at iHeartMedia, it doesn't matter how palatial our studios are. This is the biggest radio corporation in the country, 800 radio stations, but we still have to buy toilet paper that it may as well be roofing shingles I'm scraping across my backside. It is so awful. So I never, when I go home, I never skimp on toilet paper. And I remember Miss Parker did one time, and she won't do it again.
You know, I don't skimp there either, but, you know, businesses do. So you'll peel off that toilet paper, and you could just see through it. It's like, what's the purpose? Because I'm having to pull a ton of it off.
Mm-hmm.
It to the Charmin thickness.
Which is almost like a scientific anomaly. Can we get Bill Guy, the science guy, to come and check this out? How can it be so thin and translucent, but feel like sandpaper at the same time? How can it be so rough, but so meek?
We'll give you a few of the other things when we come back.
Yeah, and if you have financial situations, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. This is Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio.
Gregory Ricks here. I enjoy fast cars, so I go to NOLA Motorsports Park in Avondale. They have a fun go-kart track, racing school, a 2.7-mile race course. And yeah, there's crazy guys on motorcycles. Hang off a bike, scrape some knees in the turns. I can't recommend it enough. NOLA Motorsports Park. Adrenaline fun. See what they're all about at NOLAMotor.com.
Winning at Life invites you to our Women and Wealth event, Thursday, November 2nd, Ruth's Chris Steakhouse in Metairie. This women's-only event will include a unique dining experience of wine tasting paired with the presented Ruth's Chris menu. In addition to this educational food and wine experience, you will also meet the Total Wealth Authority, the team to handle all your retirement needs. Reserve your seat today, 504-832-9200, the Gregory Ricks and Associates. It's app or GregoryRicks.com.
Caroline or Change opens next weekend at the Westwego Performing Arts Theater. Do something new for a date night.
Come see a Broadway hit about 60s Louisiana performed by local talent and experience some real culture. Caroline or Change, Friday and Saturday at 7:30, Sunday at 2. For our tickets, call 504-885-2000, the JPAS app or jpas.org.
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
First rule is avoid losing money. Rule number two is have your money making money when it should. Third is the return of your money is more important than the return on your money. So what are your exits? How do you get it out?
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO. The Ricks Report with Gregory Ricks.
Yeah, I had a question about you can actually rent your stock.
You're referring to options, and options increase your risk. Now, what, you know, when you talk about renting your stocks out every month to generate potential larger returns, what you're referring to is a covered call. That's when you sell an option to another investor to buy your stock at agreed upon price in the future, and that's called a strike price. So you're selling that option for it to go up. You're collecting a premium. And covered calls worked really well, in my opinion, when we were in the buy and hold world. Now we have a lot of volatility. It's scary.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Find me at gregoryricks.com, the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
I know everybody says money can't buy happiness, but it can buy me a boat, it can buy me a truck to pull, it can buy me a Yeti.
You won't find this anywhere else. Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Say money can't buy everything, well, maybe so. You can buy me a boat.
See, we should have sang at Pasta Bacini last night. You can sing.
I can sing that.
All right. Well, I could have played that.
Do me a red. I can sing me a redneck song.
You probably have to sing a redneck song, Gregory. In fact, whatever song you sang would become a redneck song once you sing it. Oh, I'm James Parker.
You're
that's
killing
Gregory
me
Ricks.
Today.
Winning it live with Gregory
I
Ricks.
I pick on you and you just kill me.
Well,
the laughter.
This is what you call the hangover show.
Okay. A few other things. Okay, we know we don't like to skimp on toilet paper.
Yes, we are in the middle of a list, and this is great financial advice, things you shouldn't skimp on. Because, yeah, you should save money here, there, and there, but not everywhere.
Well, I wouldn't skimp on this one either.
Well, we started with toilet paper.
Tattoos.
How many tattoos do you have, Gregory?
None.
Yeah, me too.
But if I got one, I wouldn't skimp on it. But you could pay a lot and still have somebody misspell something.
Oh, those people.
You know, cheap tattoos are not good, and good tattoos are not cheap. And if they screw it up, well, it's free.
I can't wait for about 10, 20 more years when all these people with these sleeve tattoos and tattoos all over them. What happens when your skin loses its elasticity and the ink kind of migrates, you know, from cellular reproduction?
Oh, when you're youthful in your 20s and 30s with that tight, smooth skin.
Flat tummy.
Yeah. And what's that going to look like at age 85? Because you're living longer. He said, oh, if I'd have known I was going to live this long, I wouldn't have got this tattoo in that spot. Yeah. Well, I'm telling you, you're living longer than you think.
I can't imagine that people are just so jumping on something so permanent. Because I remember when I got old enough to get a tattoo around 18, 19, 20-ish, and some of my friends started getting tattoos. You got to get one. You got to get one. I'm like, no, I'm not getting one. And they would say, why not? And I was like, listen, I don't know if I'm going to like that in 5 years or 10 years, or much less 40 years. I got to live with this the rest of my life. If I could pick my clothing based on what I was wearing, you know, 5, 10 years ago, I'd still be wearing hammer pants the rest of my life. Wouldn't that be a mistake? Aren't you glad you can change your britches? You'd be running around in parachute pants, wouldn't you? Or jams or whatever. Insert obsolete fashion here.
Have you seen that commercial running on Fox Business?
About the parachute pants?
No, about the bed. with the, it looks like the Muppets or something are advertising. You've not seen that?
Maybe not.
They've been advertising it way too much. That's another thing you shouldn't skimp on. It says another Market Watch article. And
is your bed?
Is don't skimp on the bed.
I have to disagree with that. I can sleep on the back patio just fine. I'm an animal.
I enjoy a very good mattress.
Let's interrupt that.
Okay, we'll come back to it.
Alan, Raceland, you're up. If you want to be after Alan, 504-260-0995. Hey, Alan.
Hi.
Hey, welcome.
Okay, thank you very much. I have savings bonds that have matured, and I was just wondering, is there any way I can defer the tax? You know, I'm only cashing one a year, so I don't, you know, cash your whole pot at one time.
Well, you are deferring the tax by cashing one year. Are you wanting to cash them all at once?
Well, no, that's why I'm not doing it all at once, because, you know, it would be too much.
Yeah, that's the way you can defer it. May not help you on yield on the balance of those double E bonds, but
of course,
when you cash them is when you're going to be taxed that year.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I was just wondering because, you know, they're not receiving anything, you know, anymore. They've matured, so they're not getting any more interest, and I just wondering if I'm doing the right thing.
Well, that's where you kind of have to figure the math on that, depending on where you're going with that money. Are you putting it elsewhere, or it's just becoming a part of the income and paying bills and such?
I'm investing some and paying bills with some too.
Yeah, so you know it's not a real just do this, but you've got to look at your income. Your tax bracket keeps coming up today, and where are you going with the money, and would it be timely to shift more now? And that's where you're also tax bracket management is cashing those and not being put into a higher tax bracket.
Good to hear.
All right, thanks, Alan.
Thank you.
All right, just give a quick review, because I don't think we've done this in years. How are savings bonds taxed?
It's ordinary income.
Just on the interest that you get up, and it hits whenever you cash it in, not when it matures.
Right.
Just want to run down a couple
things. Just the interest stops coming in on those things.
Jeff, New Orleans, you're next up on Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks. If you want to be after Jeff, 504.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Hang on a second, Jeff. 504-260-0995. Now go.
How y'all doing today?
Hey, good.
Good.
I got an explanation for your apparent paradox of the toilet paper here with the rough yet meek. Okay,
Jeff, you may be my hero of the show. Hit me.
So think about it. It's actually not as counterintuitive as you might think. If you think of sheets, if you want them to feel softer, you increase thread count, right?
Yes.
So you've got the fibers. There's such a small number of fibers that you can feel the individual fibers, which feels like sandpaper. But it's such a small number of fibers that light goes through it real easy.
I thought the thread count made it feel better because the threads had to necessarily be smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller.
At a point.
Okay.
Right, and this is actually why thread counts are kind of deceiving, because you can only tell the difference between a certain extent. Real high thread counts don't really feel that different. So you can have lower thread count, right, or smaller threads with a higher thread count.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other end, when you're... If you want to have
you're breaking up.
You will, right?
Start over the toilet paper part. How does this metaphor apply to toilet paper again?
It's the same thing. It's still fiber, right? It's just plant fiber. So you mat it together to make a sheet, right?
Okay.
But when you've got it pretty thin, it's got a real small amount of fiber. Right? You can see through it real easily.
Still with you.
But you can also feel the difference between where all the fibers are pressed together. It doesn't form.
I see what he's saying.
Yeah,
I see.
Sandpaper, okay. You have higher thread count. It's smoother.
Okay. Well, that puts my mind at ease, Jeff. You've done me a service. I appreciate that.
Same thing with sheets. Don't skimp on your sheets. That should have been on the list.
Oh, my
goodness. Lower thread count, higher thread counts, more comfortable.
My family thinks I'm a Viking.
It's like you buying a shirt. I just like shirts with a lower thread count because the air can move through.
At my home studio, you know, I have that little that little room in the back. There's a couch there, and I have a blanket. Sometimes I would take naps there quite a bit when I was doing the morning show and the evening show. And the blanket I have, the default blanket for our studio, is I think it was a moving blanket. It's one of these blue ones, but you can see the other like recycled fibers in it. It's not supposed to be for like human use, but it works fine. It keeps the heat in. It's soft. I mean, it's a little scratchy, but whatever. I have one of those nasty moving blankets that I use for a blanket in the studio. Well, there has to be utility there. Everything in the studio has to be able to have Cokes spilled on it and kids sneezing on it or other bodily functions on it. You know, I have a very kid-friendly setup at the house. All right, what else should we not skimp on?
LASIK.
Oh, the eye surgery.
Yeah. You probably should pay the doctor and staff who are highly respected. They take a great deal of time and effort with measurements to make sure they get it right. The writer here had said, I've seen billboards that say both eyes for $600.
Yeah, why not?
Eye surgery is not something I'm going bargain hunting for, and I don't want to be in a LASIK mill.
I may push back on that because it's a robot. It's a machine that does all the work, right? You're not...
Well, I don't know.
I'm not saying...
You've been in a LASIK chair?
I've seen the LASIK chairs.
You've seen it.
Yeah. Listen, all right, if you're going to some guy that has one of those laser pointers and he's working out of his garage in Poplarville, be skeptical, but you're probably going to be sitting in like a $2 million machine. I probably don't know enough to even be a rational source on this.
How much time we got? We'll go finish this up really quick.
Half hour.
Bikes.
Bicycles?
Yes. Minimum quality starts there, Walmart. Bikes are B quality and might not even be assembled completely. The writer here says, so that was
all right,
a beep. I couldn't say that. He says, go to a real bike shop. Yeah, good bikes, going to cost more money. Plastic surgery. He just posts a picture of Michael Jackson here.
That's my other one. Now, I'm more specific in which plastic surgery, but it's covered under the general guise of plastic surgery, but I'll agree with that. I was saying you should never skimp on a plastic surgery that's a lot more popular with women than men.
Okay, here's one. We'll ask Angie about this, too. Shoes. He says don't skimp on shoes.
Why are you asking Angie? Because she's a girl and you're disassociating?
I just know I hear them going to the lower price shoe because they have so many shoes, so they skimp. He says spend $100 or more on shoes. I typically will do that.
He's drunk.
What?
Women will do it from time to time, but it is better to not skimp on that. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's better to get a better quality shoe for your feet.
Yeah, if you give any woman the option between Payless or Jimmy Choo, she's going to spend $300 for that set of pumps that looks almost identical.
But regardless of price, they don't last forever. One of my favorite pair of boots, like, and wanting to come apart.
Cheap shoes make my feet smell like a paper mill. It is awesome. Awful. Like my feet today, I'm in nice shoes. That's fine. It's not that big of a deal. But if I'm in cheap
shoes. So we'll know when you're wearing cheap shoes.
Oh, you'll know because it smells like pig pen from Peanuts. It's just a cloud of funk is behind me. It is bad. I can smell them myself when I'm sitting down. All right, 504-260-0995. We'll finish this list and more financial goodness on the way. I'm James Parker. It's Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio.
Winning at Life invites you to our Women and Wealth event, Thursday, November 2nd, Ruth's Chris Steakhouse in Metairie. This women's-only event will include a unique dining experience of wine tasting paired with the presented Ruth's Chris menu. In addition to this educational food and wine experience, you will also meet the Total Wealth Authority, the team to handle all your retirement needs. Reserve your seat today, 504-832-9200, the Gregory Rickson Associates app or GregoryRicks.com.
Mortgage Gumbo with your chef, Dwayne Stein.
Your homeowner's insurance? Be honest on your application. And we see this all the time. They want to tell them it's an all-brick house when in reality, maybe it's just bricked on the side and a little bit in the front with the stucco. You want to make sure you're being upfront on your application because the homeowner's insurance company will drop you.
Mortgage Gumbo with Dwayne Stein this Saturday at 1 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Gregory Ricks and Associates brings you the Total Wealth Authority, the team to handle all aspects of your money. Meet Stephanie from Dwell Nola Realty.
Yeah, well, real estate's a real personal thing to people. Everybody's pretty much involved in it one way or another. You know, a lot of times it's people that have investment properties that get additional income from the rentals.
The Total Wealth Authority. Summon us with the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, gregoryricks.com or 504-832-9200.
Hey, Raj. Happy birthday. How you doing? Still feeling on top of your game?
No complaints.
Great. You've hit the big 5-0 now. Have you thought about talking with your doctor about some screening tests you need?
Screening for what?
High blood pressure, high cholesterol, colorectal cancer.
Jeez, that's not what I wanted to hear.
Hey, you have to know what's going on to stay on top of your game.
Visit ahrq.gov/consumer for a free checklist of screening tests for men 50 and older. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
What do I cherish? Precious moments. Watching Dad read to my little Eric. That's why I'm so grateful I insisted on an eye exam when I noticed him struggling with the words on the page. We found out Dad has age-related macular degeneration, or AMD. Fortunately, the doctor caught it in time for treatment, so Dad can still read. Protect yourself and your loved ones. Call the Foundation Fighting Blindness today at 1-800-BLINDNESS for a free packet on preventing and managing AMD. A cure is in sight.
The contents of this show are meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not meant to take place of your attorney, accountant, tax professional, personal trainer, football coach, interior decorator, or those fortune tellers at Jackson Square. Please consult a financial advisor before making all investment decisions.
Gregory Ricks & Associates is a registered investment advisory firm. If you'd like a copy of Form ADV, our full disclosures, call the office 504-832-9200 or go to gregoryricks.com.
Your wallet's favorite show, Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Welcome back. To rule the world, huh? Be too much trouble. Big headache. I don't want in on that, that's for sure. Five best movies featuring Black Monday. I was looking at this list and I don't know them all. The Wolf of Wall Street was number one on this list. The second was, the name of it is Traitor. The third is Cancel Crash. Fourth, Remembering Black Monday Crash. And the fifth was Wall Street.
Wall Street, like Gordon Gekko Wall Street?
Yes. Did you see that one?
I never saw it. I'm aware of the character, and he just seems like a caricature.
So you saw Remembering Black Monday Crash?
I did not.
How about Cancel Crash?
I don't even know what you're saying there. Is that
Traitor?
Like Cancel hyphen crash or Cancel slash crash?
It says Cancel Crash, no hyphen.
It's not even a coherent statement. Yeah. But no,
Traitor.
I have not seen Traitor. I have seen Wolf of Wall Street.
You jumped ahead of me. Well, I already knew the answer.
We knew the
to
list.
That. I think you even liked that movie. I thought it was horrid, but I'll come back to Wolf of Wall Street real quick. Okay. Here, Traitor is a PBS show that was filmed in 1987, a documentary about Paul Tudor Jones II when he was on his way to becoming the hedge fund billionaire he is now. Cancel Crash. Looks like it was a documentary, and from perspective of traders working on Chicago Mercantile Exchange. Remembering Black Monday Crash is a Wall Street piece that's 22 minutes long, and actually I'm going to look at those three. I just did not recall ever seeing them. I saw Wall Street, Gordon Gekko, and although I guess I liked it at the time, I think it just kind of just is.
What was that glint in your eye about Wolf of Wall Street?
Wolf of Wall Street, I just disliked it. The story was, I think, exaggerated, but, and we shouldn't, for somebody that's criminal like this, not to make him famous for being a criminal. I totally dislike that. But this thing was, what he originally built on and started out doing was penny stocks and really taking advantage of people with that. And where we had somebody call in earlier in the first hour about, and I, you know, and that's one reason we talked about it recently, is the state of cannabis in those states and how it's on a thread because of the Rebenbacher FAR amendment that has to be renewed every year to keep the feds from going there and arresting everybody.
Yeah.
So, but if you saw Wolf of Wall Street, there's one thing you won't want to trade in, I would think, and that's this, where that guy was basically penny stocks, which are low price stocks, which do not really have a market. One reason you want to, you know, trade over, if you're at the OTC, over the counter market, you know, that's low volume and you're not guaranteed to have buyers on the other side. But when you get into the NASDAQ, the Dow, the S&P, those markets, there's volume, there's traders on the other side, and that's what makes this work. There's a willing seller and there's a willing buyer at that price, and that's what the markets do, really, is basically is to match all that up. So when I'm wanting out of it, there's somebody on the other side. But the Wolf of Wall Street, if you've seen that movie, you wouldn't want to buy penny stocks.
That part of the movie was accurate, that little penny stock part, but yeah. I just remember after I saw the movie, I'm like, well, this is the opposite of what I read with all the critics and all the movie reviews. They were like, look, this is a great snapshot of how things really work on Wall Street, but you're not going to like it because all of the nudity and drugs and profanity. And I'm like, well, that's the only part I liked. I thought the financial stuff was absurd, except for the penny stocks part. That was right on. But luckily,
it was absurd.
Yeah, luckily there was all this vulgarity and drug use and beautiful women to kind of make up for the lame story. But I came across with the exact opposite of what I was supposed
to. For them to think that there's that in no aspect of that I've seen in real life.
Earl, you're next up on Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, Earl?
Oh, hey, I got a couple of questions. One on the markets and some on taxes. I'll start with the markets first. You know, basically, I've been waiting for like a correction or something to happen. Do you recommend buying in now? It just seems a little high. I just wanted to, it just keeps going up. You're, and I was wondering if you had any thoughts on that.
On buying into the market at this time?
Yeah, I don't think it's a good idea. I keep waiting for like a correction to come about. I think it's due. And, you know, they got a lot of forecasters there on the internet, you know, that are always speculating. And
I know, and it's hard to sit on the sidelines when you see everyone who's playing the game making money right now, huh?
I'm chomping at the bit. I'm like dying over here. It's like, well, if it's going to go up, like if the S&P goes up another 300 points or the Dow goes up to another 500, another 5,000, maybe you should jump in, but
I believe I said a while back some months ago that I think this market goes beyond 25,000. Now, I'm not trying to give a timeline, but I would say in the next couple years. Heck, it might do it in 90 days. That we don't know, but assuming everything in this administration and everything keeps positive, the jobs keep getting added on, we have a fix for health care, we have a more level playing tax system, and we keep having manufacturing increase and money come over here and invested, those things lead to that more profits and earnings. As long as earnings keep going up, stocks are going to keep going up, because that's really the bottom line, and those that don't have earnings start to have earnings, like the Tesla and Netflix and such as that. So that's where I think it goes. Now, to answer your question is, you know, it's I'll give you an example of getting in the swimming pool early spring. You know, you could just jump all in and take the pain, and hopefully this swim goes well, or you ease it in. And if I'm in murky water, I'm really easing in. I would ease in to this at comfort level. And that way, if there is some dips or pullbacks, it gives you some opportunity. I just don't know where that's going to be.
Okay.
And this has been on a heck of a run. We've had a couple corrections, you know, past 2.5 years, 10% ones. And those were opportunities to edge a little bit more in. And some of our strategies are near fully invested, but I always have the eye to that problematic side, this thing pulling back or going bad. So we manage a number of strategies with individual securities, and we buy positions on dips within that. But when you look at the overall market, yeah, we're not getting dips. So once again, be careful and make sure you understand what your tolerance is, meaning your level of risk. If you go in and this thing pulls back, are you going to say, oh, heck, I want to pull that in? Or this is a time to ease a bit more in. So you need to think and maybe create your own personal investment philosophy and create a few rules along with that if you're doing that yourself.
Yeah, are you going to be buying individual stocks, Earl?
No, I was going to do indexes, like S&P.
We have strategies on that as well, so it's a good idea.
Well, and the Wilshire 5000 is a good one I like. I kind of park my money on the side. I'm getting really, really low gains, you know, and I'm just like missing out on all the good stuff. I don't know.
What is your age? Let's get into a little bit more here, Earl. What's your age?
Oh, I'm 59.
59? How much emergency savings do you have?
Emergency?
Yes.
Oh, I guess about 50K maybe.
And you're not wanting to invest that money, are you?
Nah, not really.
So you have other money to invest. About how much?
I got to say about 210K.
Yeah. Well, like I said,
not much.
Good information. But we're going to jump to a break here. Just ease yourself in. Be careful.
Thanks for calling, Earl.
Market has risks. It can go down.
It seems a little easier, though, if he's going to go the index route. You can really get burned in a downturn really quick on individual securities. I mean, you can have some stop
losses. Well, if you're loading up one, but if you're holding 50, that might be more positions than some ETFs and mutual funds. Diversification is more than one stock.
504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. It's Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio.
There's more to winning at life than making a bunch of money. It's also about finding something you love doing. Gregory Ricks here. For me, I enjoy fast cars, so I go to NOLA Motorsports Park in Avondale. If you like going fast on anything with wheels, this is the amusement park. I can't recommend it enough. NOLA Motorsports Park. See what they're all about at NOLAMotor.com.
Winning at Life invites you to our Women and Wealth event, Thursday, November 2nd, Ruth's Chris Steakhouse in Metairie. This women's only event will include a unique dining experience of wine tasting paired with the presented Ruth's Chris menu. In addition to this educational food and wine experience, you will also meet the Total Wealth Authority, the team to handle all your retirement needs. Reserve your seat today, 504-832-9200, the Gregory Rickson Association app, or GregoryRicks.com.
Caroline or Change opens next weekend at the Westwego Performing Arts Theater. The story is set in Lake Charles, Louisiana, 1963. And it's cool to see a story about our area that becomes a Broadway hit in 2004.
Caroline or Change, Friday and Saturday at 7:30, Sunday at 2. For tickets, call 504-885-2000, the JPAS app or jpas.org.
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
We have the ability to work in the banking world. We have the ability to work in the Wall Street world. We also have the ability to work in the insured money world, and that also includes annuities.
Gregory Ricks & Associates, a registered investment advisory firm. Find us at GregoryRicks.com, the Gregory Ricks & Associates app, and 504-832-9200.
The Ricks Report with Gregory Ricks.
A lot of times people will come in, James, and what they're looking for is, what is my number? How much do I need for retirement? Do I have enough assets, or will I have enough assets to generate the income? So we started looking at everything. We want to find out how much emergency assets you have, the equity in your home, how much money you're spending, how much are you going to need for income? Is this your retirement home? What rate are you paying on that mortgage? How can we make that mortgage go away? Or how do we fix the debt? We're looking at all kind of things because that's what we do. We don't just, let us work with your IRA.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Find me at GregoryRicks.com, the Gregory Ricks & Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
And I don't know why.
We keep an eye on your money and update you daily. Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
This is Winning at Life. We have a few minutes left in the weekly wrap here. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks, along with James Parker. The phone number is 504-260-0995. We can talk to you about that lump sum on the pension, those mutual funds, that ETF, about diversification, about investment rules. 504-260-0995. The most profitable actor in Hollywood, meaning from making money.
Am I supposed to guess?
For the business, for the industry, not making money for...
You mean the most bankable. Isn't that the term they like to use for that one? The most bankable star in Hollywood?
It's going to surprise you who the most bankable one is that's done 10 or more films.
That would have to be either Will Smith, maybe Brad Pitt. Tom Hanks? That's what Angie said.
I'll tell you who it's not to start with. It's not Brad Pitt.
Because he does pick some stinkers.
Not Robert Downey Jr. Not Dwayne Johnson.
That would have been a good guess.
Emilio Estevez.
He hadn't even made a movie in forever, right? What is he on? Isn't he on TV right now?
For every dollar spent on the leading man's films, Estevez generated $6.70 at the box office for every dollar spent.
Emilio Estevez is the most bankable.
Who do you think's
star?
Number two?
Well, I this is going to be a shot in the dark because I'm so blown away by Emilio Estevez. All right, who else is cheap but is in a bunch of big movies? Kevin Bacon?
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Shut up. This is a bogus list. Throw it away. Wad it up. Throw it
raked
away.
Raked in $4.20 for every dollar. Well, other great investments were Mel Gibson, $3.50. Tyler Perry, $3 for
Those
every dollar.
Are both good guesses that I should have done. Mel Gibson and Tyler Perry.
And Tyler Perry is tied with, who was the lead in? 10.
What was 10?
Dudley Moore.
Did I see 10? Is that the one with Bo Derek?
Yeah.
Came out the year before I was born?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, Brad Pitt returned 10 cents for every buck spent.
Oh, so he's
making
the
him the least profitable actor in Hollywood,
Brad.
Followed by Johnny Depp at 20 cents. Robert De Niro at 24, and Hugh Jackman at 25 cents.
Robert De Niro made that list? That's interesting because he's not in high budget.
Well, actually, I'm incorrect. So 10 cents and Johnny Depp is negative 20, De Niro 20, negative 24, Hugh Jackman negative 20. So you put those guys in your movie and you're losing. It's a write-off.
Robert De Niro is a money loser in Hollywood?
Yeah.
I would have never guessed that. You talking to me? Not anymore.
They crunched a number for actresses from the past decade and found that Rose Byrne scored the best return at $9.80 for every budgeted dollar, followed by Regina Hall.
Wait, who is Rose Byrne?
I don't know.
Rosebyrne. Oh, okay.
Do not know who she is. And then Regina Hall is next. She lost $3.50 for every dollar. Octavia Spencer at $2.90.
All right, Regina Hall.
Very interesting take.
I cannot believe Robert De Niro is a money loser.
They studied the box office data from 1980 through 2017 this far and found that Young Gun star delivered the best return of any top billed male actor who has starred in at least 10 films.
Young Gun 2 is better than Young Guns 1, by the way, just so you know.
Yeah, I saw both of them.
Heck yeah. All right, so let's talk about a little bit of financial planning through a divorce. I'm doing this to help out Miss Parker. Yeah, just in case. Look, I want her to know her options are open. If she wants to leave me, she needs to know.
Oh, it's not good luck with that?
Good luck with... Oh, no, it's not. Look, I'm never going to leave her, but if she wants to leave me, then whatever. Let's have her go through it with the most education and financially solvent way possible. So, first off, let's talk about financial planning through divorce. What's the wife entitled to? Like, she gets half a... Everything he earned from the day they were married?
Well, I doubt they saved all that.
Okay, but what...
But okay, repeat the question.
What is the wife actually entitled to on a divorce? Like, how legally speaking, how do they spell that out?
It's what they can negotiate the terms to. Now, depending on what state you're in, there's different rules. We're in a community property state in Louisiana. If you reside there... then you're kind of splitting the community property. So community property law says each of you have half of the community property. So there at the core, that's it. But is it going to be exactly that? Maybe, maybe not, because what ultimately it is always a negotiation.
Can she make me cash out my 401k? If I don't have enough liquid assets to pay her half?
You don't have to cash it, but she could have half of it.
And it continues to be a 401k under her name?
Yeah, those assets would move to her.
Is it still a 401k?
Well, yours would be a 401k. Okay. Hers is probably going to be an IRA.
You say this like I know it. I don't know that.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
Well, I don't mean to say it that way, but that's... Okay. Generally what it's going to be. With that said, I am not a divorce attorney or estate planning attorney. That's why we have Wes Blanchard as a part of the Total Wealth Authority for these more in-depth discussions. But we're just generally speaking here as an idea of how things are going to play out.
All right. Now, let's say Miss Parker leaves me, takes all four of the kids. No judge would give me custody over her. They have eyes. They know what's going on.
Why wouldn't you have joint custody?
Well, they got to live somewhere.
They could live with you some and with her some. This isn't just... Mm. And I don't know. She might not want them to live with her all the time. She needs a break.
You know, I kind of assumed that they would just all be with her, and then I would be stuck with child support payments.
You could well be stuck with that, even though they're living with you half the time.
That doesn't seem like...
I think you... Let's assume you make more than her. Yeah, you're going... pay her money for her time of taking care of them, too.
Are my child support payments, hypothetically speaking, tax deductible? Do I get to write that off?
I don't think so.
Dang it. So I got to make that money.
If you're trying to get some loopholes there, we got to get Jude back in here.
I got to get in my AGI. I got to get that down. But so I got to make this money, pay the taxes on it myself, and then pass it off to her. But I don't get a write off, and she doesn't have to. Is it taxable income to her? Child support payments?
No.
What a gift! I want the kids then.
You would still probably have to pay her child support, and you're not getting 100% custody to keep them all the time.
All right, what about her big old fat credit card debts? Now, these aren't shared credit cards.
If you're in Louisiana, okay. Now, remember, each state has different rules, and ultimately, I always kind of look at everything as a negotiation, but Louisiana, what do you each have half of? The community property. That includes the wealth, and it includes the debt.
See, this isn't working out too good for me. So I would have to take on half of her credit card debt when she leaves?
You already have.
Well, that's air quotes there. Right. You already have. I think she may want to hang on just a little bit longer, though, because what's the rule on her being able to file on my Social Security if we're divorced? She's got to make it 10 years?
Yes.
Was that 9 years? I forgot. Really did, honestly.
10 years? Is she close?
We've been married, I don't know, 4 years, something like that. 7 years? I don't know. I know when it is. I'm being funny. Jerks.
You know, there's an individual I've talked to from time to time, and they have wealth. But he's wanting a divorce, and they live separately and stuff, and it was just interesting because we're having a conversation one day, and I asked her, well, when are you getting a divorce? I don't know. I bring it up to her, and she doesn't really want to talk about it. And one time recently, she said, why would we want to do that? And so I kind of outlined it for him, and I said, yeah, why would she? She has it made under this scenario, and you don't. So,
yeah.
So it could come to that. Yeah, but what if both don't want a divorce?
All right. Our next event, ladies only. It's our last Gregory Ricks Live of the year. It's November 2nd. It's coming up in just a couple Thursdays. That'll be around here before you know it. Don't get wrapped up in the Thanksgiving and Christmas decorations. Take some time out just before the end of the year here and get your first foot forward on your new financial future. It starts with Gregory Ricks Live, and we're doing a wine pairing with some Ruth's Chris food and financial information.
I want some sin cake from that one.
I'm getting some sin cake this time, too. RSVP at the website, GregoryRicks.com, at the app, the Gregory Ricks & Associates app, or call the office, 504-832-9200. I'm James Parker. This has been Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio. Have a good weekend.
Life with Gregory Ricks is copyrighted by Gregory Ricks for the private use of our audience. Any unauthorized use of this broadcast without express consent by Gregory Ricks is prohibited.
Thank you for tuning in to Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. If you need to contact the office, find our next live event, listen to the show live or on demand. Remember, the Gregory Ricks and Associates app.